Yep, I see recording.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. We are back with another episode of Majority Rules. Today, we got a special guest, Mikey Mosky.
Mikey Mosky.
So many stupid names, you guys.
He's one of the many. He's got 1,000 nicknames, but if you know, those people that follow us, if you know him from the neighborhood, you know him. He used to break dance and stuff. He was quite the popular guy.
My back hurts. Break dance. It's been a long time.
No, you made it pretty big, bro. You were fucking on.
No.
You did the fucking. You were on stage for those.
I did like Beatstock 1 year, like 2005.
All right, and at the height of it,
was on there like
That was the height.
Literally, that was 15 years ago.
But Beatstock was the height of coolness, bro. We were all there. It was pretty fun. And you were fucking good. You were good, bro. Can't deny that you were good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
In your prime, you were good in your prime.
In my prime, I was a basic breakdancer. Very basic, trust me.
Nah, but you know what it was? Mike, you were always one of the people that you reached your full potential of like being a fucking guy from Brooklyn. Like breakdancer was hot, you mastered it, you were like top five and you know, like anything that would make you cool.
But you say top five compared to what?
Top five on West Fifth.
Yeah, like breakdance okay. from the neighborhood.
I'll take top five on West Fifth.
Like,
and there was
like Sweet 16s, everyone waited for you.
Yeah, no, but there was Sweet 16 thing was like a totally different animal. That was more dancing than real breakdancing. When it was the show off time.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
That was the only time we really broke dance. There was occasionals where I had friends of mine who were teaching me to do it, where we would do it randomly in the street. But trust me, I was very, very entry level breakdancer compared to other kids.
Yeah, but on my level, you were always amazing because I can't fucking do shit. I could do the cha-cha slide, basically.
That's a good song. Right there.
That's all I got. That's
all you need. You only need this. That's all you need.
Right, so all you need to do is a two-step.
That's it. Yeah. That's all you need.
I'm hitched. That's
all I do now.
I'm telling you, one move to every song. That's all you need. So, Mike, a kid that grew up in Gravesend, Brooklyn, and now where do you live?
New Milford, Connecticut.
Okay. How is the, you know,
transition?
How is it out there?
Prior to being married with kids,
to live in
here. When I was a kid growing up on West Fifth, I would never, ever think I'd live where I live. I wouldn't say I'm in the sticks, but I'm on a mountain pretty much.
Right. So like
my closest neighbor is like 100 feet away easily.
25-year-old Mike would not think that. However, older.
Yeah,
Mike
but
would,
be,
would be
before
doing.
You moved out there, you had two kids in Brooklyn, right?
I had two kids in Brooklyn. I got married in 2011, and my son was born. Let me make sure I have it right. Born in 2013.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
If anyone's wondering, he's not looking at his watch. He's looking at his tattoos.
I'm looking at my hands. Birth dates and names.
So how is it like with the kids now in Connecticut?
Well, in the beginning, when I lived upstairs from my in-laws, so. Everything was pretty – we had a decent-sized apartment, so we had a three-bedroom apartment. But everything was still tight. My living was the action of where everything is. Toys, diaper changing, everything happened in my living
room. All live action in one room.
That's what it was. So it was you know, plus my kids, when they realized, oh, I got Nona downstairs, they want to go downstairs. So it was, you know, plus me and my wife were still working at the time, so my mother-in-law watched them. Well, really, it was really my son in the beginning. And then it was like, okay, well, it's getting a little too tight here.
Yeah,
and
right.
Started looking at houses 2017-ish.
But it's funny because, like, shit like that at the time, you think that's, like, typical Brooklyn shit. Like, oh, we all grew up kind of like this or whatever. Then you get to a point where you're like, all right, this is no good anymore.
Like, I was fine staying where we were. It was more of, do I want to raise my kids in Brooklyn? That's really what it was. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't the same. If it was the same when I was a kid.
I was just going to say, if it was the same.
It's not the same.
My wife agreed, we would never left. It's just not the same. It's so crowded now. It's so, all right. So my son, when he was in pre-K, went to St. Athanasius on Bay Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't leave early enough, he was going to be late. It's a 3-minute drive.
Yeah.
But because of traffic and because everyone trying to line up is insane.
That is insane.
The congestion. And then at the time, my wife was working in Manhattan, so that congestion she dealt with. I was still working in the Bronx. All the congestion was like getting to us. We had to go.
Super stressful, yeah.
But even the fact of having kids and, you know, going to sit on your stoop and having the kids play with other kids. If there's not more
there's,
of that.
There's none of that.
There's none of that anymore.
So when my son was in St. A's, and there's not to knock any nationality, but like say he was, I don't know, say 20 kids in his class. He was one of five that spoke English. No one else spoke English. But I'm like, how's my son supposed to make friends with people that speak English?
That's also true.
There's nothing to knock against them, but like, you know.
Compared to us.
There should be some sort of rules and regulations
to us, like, Mike, we grew up in the same block, right?
You were in diapers when I met you, literally, in a diaper in the rain. Literally.
How many kids we had out here at the same time? 50 kids at once.
So many kids.
You walked out, you made friends in a blink of an eye.
Come out on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, someone was outside.
Someone was outside.
Something.
You go out there now, even before quarantine, there's fucking garbage out there. That's it.
Nothing. I drive down West 5th when I'm in Brooklyn. There's nobody out there.
There's no one out here no more.
I hope to catch you. Somebody there, but no one's out there.
I know.
Let me know when you're coming. I'll wave out my window.
Yeah.
My wife was just in Brooklyn yesterday. She went to go see her mom just, you know, in the yard. And she was there for a majority of the day, and she brought me back L&B, which is...
Did she wait an hour?
That is the thing.
Nah, she did. There was a line, but she said she didn't wait that long.
Nah, they moved.
Because I passed by today, the line was fucking ridiculous.
It's just because they're spaced out. And it moves. It's just, they're banging out pies, because what else are they going to do?
That's all they're going to do, yeah. And they got to... I've had L&B in, like, almost a year, probably.
Yeah, the food is definitely a different thing to adjust to, no?
Yeah, there's no bagels up here. I found a decent pizza place, but nothing like Brooklyn. The food isn't bad.
It's good for
you.
No,
it's just different. You got other shit.
You got a big yard, right?
I got I'm sitting on just over an acre of property.
Okay, Holy shit.
So it's more of a front yard than really a back, but like I'm backed up. One of my neighbors is behind me, and there's like, you know, 200 feet of woods, and then their house. And then next to us on the other side is like 100 plus feet of woods. You can still see through it, but it's woods. And we got bears. We got coyotes.
Oh, you have cameras and shit set up. You see anything crazy? I
haven't done the camera thing yet. But I had a baby cub black bear outside my back door one day in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My dog went crazy, and the bear looked up and ran, took off, ran.
Holy shit! Yeah,
so you gave up that fucking... your window and seeing crackheads to now looking and seeing bears and coyotes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I do it.
Plus, I can't afford to live in Brooklyn.
Especially in this neighborhood.
You pay like under $1 million for like 1,100 square feet. That's disgusting. I can't do it.
That like there's people like still living that like you have no choice but to live like the college lifestyle with a roommate and shit fucking 30 years old.
Like the convenience of working closer to home, so they don't mind living like that. Because I know people that live in the city that have like five roommates.
Right.
That's what you're fine with. Like, and you don't have no commute. I'll drive. When I lived in Brooklyn, I was still driving to the Bronx. And then in traffic, I was taking me 2 hours to get home with traffic.
It's miserable.
Crazy, now absolutely. I drive triple the distance, and I'm home in like half the time.
There's nobody out there.
Yeah. No, there's people out, but I'm driving north now.
It's different.
Yeah, you're not coming.
It moves.
It's worth the sacrifice. I still deal with the city with work and the Bronx and the chaos.
But now you live,
I'm in my quiet. No one's around.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. Now you come home and everything is just, it's peaceful out there.
Peaceful until we got to do kid activities.
Okay.
I take the kids here. Well, not so much now, but prior to this Rona, taking the kids everywhere, doing all these after school shits.
So the commute for work, does that bother you at all? I know you just spoke about it, but like
63 miles one way.
63 one way.
Oh wow, that's a nice little trip.
It's like I say, I leave work at 2. If I leave work at 2, I'm home in my garage by like 3:07.
Wow.
And when I lived in Brooklyn, I would leave work at 3:30. I get home almost sometimes 6 o'clock because of traffic, and that's only 25 miles.
Holy shit, that's a big difference.
So, like, you want to sit in traffic, or would I rather drive an hour with no traffic? Doing 70. I'll do that any day. Honestly, any day. So.
All right, so what I want to get into is some of the other fucking juicier stuff, because you're always, like, one of the more interesting people.
The bearer of information.
Yeah, because you were, like, you're a little older than me, so you were, like, from a different crowd, even though we all intermingled.
When what are you, like, 32?
Yeah.
Yeah, nah. I got I'm 36.
Bit. Yeah, a little bit.
I'm gonna be 30. Boom.
It ain't gonna feel any different, my man. Trust me.
I'm gonna be inside for my 30th birthday, so that's cool.
I was. It's all right. A lot of people are getting their birthday skipped this year.
What was my 30th? 30th was in Atlantic City.
Yeah, birthday. I did the same.
So,
I always looked at Mike like Mike was like a type of a role model. I'm not gonna say like a role model type, like somebody that I was like, yo,
I'll take it.
He carries himself in a way that I was like, he's got a swagger. He knows how to talk to people. Like, I used to always introduce him to girls that I was talking to.
That has diminished very much over the years.
Yeah, of course.
Now I'm so much more of a, like, what are the introverts that you want to call it?
I'd
be home than really be out. And my difficulty now is now I'm around people I don't know. So now I got to try and be friendly. It's very difficult for me. Because not that these people aren't friendly. It's also I'm from Brooklyn. So you don't know people being fake. Up here, no one's fake. They're just really nice. So
yeah, right.
So it's like,
you live where like everyone waves at you, right? People you don't even know.
Not when you drive. Like your neighbors, they see you, they'll wave.
Welcome to the neighborhood, all that stuff.
Not like that. Like bring you a pie, none of that.
Yeah.
Come at.
You got some hillbillies that live up here. So.
Is a casserole.
Yeah. Just return the glass when they're eating.
Casserole. Welcome to the neighborhood. So Sean, what were you about to ask?
Yeah.
Well, it was like a bunch of different things, you know. Like he was always somebody that like we hung out with a crew of kids that like at the time when the dating was the big thing and like buddy used to like pump their chest about like brag about how many girls they could get with or whatever. A lot of the kids back then didn't really talk a big game. They just stood there like their hair spiked up and just had nothing to say. It was just like, they were like, you're hot and I'm hot. So like, let's take a walk. And then like, there was the other side of the coin of people like me and Mike or whatever that would actually engage in conversation and like make a point of like interest of like doing, you know, like to open that can of worms of actually getting to know people and analyzing them and go back and forth instead of just like, you're hot, I'm hot. Like, you know what I mean? It was a different dynamic when like, that really wasn't the cool way to handle it when we were growing up. More of the other kids that we hung out with were like, oh, what are you talking to her for? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm interested.
It wasn't always about just trying to get in their pants.
Right.
But like, many people realize that I have three older brothers. So growing up, if they witnessed me talking to girls, whether it was trying to get with them or not, if I didn't get some sort of closure with what I was trying to do, with regardless of what it was for, the abuse in front of them, in front of my friends that I caught from my brothers is disgusting. Maybe not so much my older brothers, but like my brother Anthony.
100%. 100%.
So like, people that know him did it. He did it to them too, because everyone knew each other on that block. So it was more of like a standard for me to be more like him in a sense. So I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't always trying to get into the groove with every girl. I was just trying to be me.
Basically. No, but I would always, when I was talking to a girl, if I ran into him, I would always like push them and be like, Mike, you got to talk to this one and then tell me what you think about it or whatever. And he always like hit the nail on the head.
Wingman. You got to be the right wingman.
Yeah. He was a perfect wingman in any situation.
And it's funny, I probably play better wingman now married than I did when I was single, because I have nothing to lose. I ain't trying to get with a friend. I'm just trying to keep it busy for 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Right.
And my wife gets a kick out of that sometimes if she witnesses it, because she's like, you have no game. She'll call me out, you have no game. So it's been a while.
you and your wife have a fucking really funny dynamic, because she can call you out and stuff like that.
So like, your wife understand. She'll get approached by guys in bars, and they'll buy her drinks. And she knows I see it. And I'm not gonna get jealous. I know who you're going home with, so I'll lean in. I'm like, get me a beer, and then she'll get me a drink. She'll make this guy buy me a drink.
that's the kind of
happened so many times though.
There's a lot of other people that were like too sensitive with shit like that.
I was a jealous type when I was younger, like anybody would be. But at one point when I know. Especially that when we were married, I'm like, come on, what are you doing? You're going to go make out with some douche? Go ahead. See how that works out for you. And the same thing with me.
But that's the mindset you got to have. Not everybody is like that.
She used to tell me we would go out. You want to play games so you could pick up more people? And I'm like, no, I lose every time.
you don't want to play games with girls like that. You'll lose.
There was one time, I think I was helping my friend Fredo out. We were doing, I think, a dance recital or something. We had to set up lights in Jersey somewhere. And there was a Hooters nearby. So we had like 3 hours to kill in between shows. So I was like, yeah, let's go to Hooters. Excuse me. And some young waitress wasn't even that good looking. I don't even know why she kept standing next to me. And I had my wedding ring on the whole nine. And when I was leaving, I felt bad. There was some training, like trainee girl that doesn't get tips. So I slipped her a $5 bill in my hand. So he did a great job. So her friend, who's actually our waitress, was like, you don't want to shake my hand? Okay. Shook her hand. She slipped me her number. So we leave the place. I open it up. Ashley with a heart and her cell number. So I'm hysterical laughing. So my friend Fredo's with me and this other kid, Bobby's with me. To do it. So what do? I take a picture of it and I text it to my wife. And I wrote, I still got it. When I came home that night, I came into my apartment, was in a book, and I came in dancing, waving the piece of paper. I still got it. So I just handed her the paper and she looked at me and she fucking shredded it and threw it in the air, the confetti in my living room. She wasn't mad, but she thought, I thought it was hilarious.
A lot of kids that we know, when we go out, they're going out on girls. So they'll ruin their night if they don't get, like, they'll set their mind up by going, all right, tonight I'm going to talk to mad girls. Bro, if you go out and it happens, it happens.
That's how you have to look at it.
You can't go out and say it's definitely going to happen, and then when it doesn't, because you got zero game, you get upset and you go home and you're going to fucking jerk off or cry yourself to sleep. It's one or the other.
One of the things with our friends is half of them are married now, and they try to like live vicariously through the single people. So yeah. Like, if I'll say hello to a girl that I'm like cordial with, not even like, she could be good looking, but maybe I'm just not interested, whatever the case may be or whatever. They'll pull me to the side and be like, Sean, you're not trying to fuck that girl.
Who's that?
And I'm like, nah, I'm not. And they're like, and they're all like up in arms about it. And I'm like, dude, you're married. Don't worry about what I'm doing. All right?
Yo, it's literally, it's Sean, and I'm there most of the time, but it's like, who's that girl you said hello to? You fucking her? Bro, yeah, hello? Hello? And she walks away.
Yeah.
Literally, that's all that happens.
Like, if you said hello and she grabbed your dick, then that'd be different. But like, even when I was single, I never went out like, I'm gonna get laid tonight. It was like, yo, let's go have a good time.
Yeah, right.
And if it happens, it happens.
Those of us were like that, and then there's the other half that like mindset was the other way, and like, those were usually the kids that struck out because it's so mental that's all you're thinking about,
and it's never gonna happen.
That's what happened to me my first year in Mexico in Cancun. I was so like, I gotta do it, and nothing happened. And then next year I went, I'm like, I'm just going to enjoy myself, and it happened a whole lot more than I did. It's just how it is.
So now, tell me more, like, thank you. A refill on the sangria.
Drinks for you?
Yeah, bro. I can't leave, you know, it takes too long to go there and come back.
Who just brought that to you? Hold on, let me see if it works.
My butler.
Nothing.
Shit, I forgot what I was saying.
You said, tell me more.
Right. So, like, you ended up marrying somebody that you knew. You guys were friends, like, way for years beforehand.
I've known my wife since we're 13.
Yeah.
So she was I'm not even going to say the phrase neighborhood girl because that's stupid. She lived in the neighborhood. She never really.
No, yeah. I mean, I knew it too. It's not like
she,
that.
She went to St. Mary's Church for school. And she played basketball there, and I played basketball for St. Mary's. So I lived in the gym as a kid. We were there all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had known her from then. And then when, like, high school, she went to Kearney, and I was friends with her and all her girlfriends.
Right.
So, like, when they all hung out, it was me and all them. So they used to talk amongst themselves, and they'd tell stories about, this guy said so-and-so, and I would chime up like, he's cheating on you. You know, just the truth.
Right.
And the things that they would say, I would use to my advantage when I'd go hang out with other girls, because those girls were just friends of mine. Nothing was ever
right.
Like that.
Right.
And that's usually how I progressed. And then it was like, then with the whole DJing thing was a different story. But my wife's story is really like a love story. I was only like a hookup. It was like a hookup as a revenge thing. That's really what it was. And a year later, we were engaged.
Did she know?
You fall into it and it just it works.
Did my wife know? Of course she knew. It was her idea. It was her revenge, not mine.
Oh, it was hers.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, I mean, everybody will sign up. Yeah, I'll be that guy.
My wife just opened the door, looked at me, and went like this.
Why? She knows you're hanging out with us today?
Of course, yeah. We have a spare bedroom, so we literally just painted the room for her, and I'm sitting at a desk with her work laptop and all her stuff. So I was like, I'm going to go do a podcast. She's like, who? So I was like, Sean's. She's like, oh, okay. So keep me just busy. And I'm the door shut. And she popped in because I talk a lot because of the headphones.
Yeah.
And she walked in. She did that to me.
That's awesome. But, like, I want to, like, it's funny that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't think that you could marry somebody that would know, like, so much about you, you know? There's a lot of people that rather marry a girl that knows nothing about. If anyone knows
about my run.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. She knows, like, your entire reputation. Listen, and the kind, you know what I mean?
She got put through shit with, like, her previous relationships, and so did I. So
yeah.
We started, like, you want to call it dating, and we will enjoy each other's company. We said, we're not going to put each other through that bullshit. So it just surpassed all the nonsense. It's like,
yeah,
you don't want to get treated this way. Neither do I. We're not going to do it. Like, there was one time we were supposed to hang out. This was newly dating, maybe barely 2-3 months in. And my friends were going out doing something. And we were supposed to have plans to hang out. So I called them. Like, listen, do you mind if I go with so-and-so? My friends all along. Yeah, whatever. So I was waiting for that scream in the phone.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's fine. She's like, I'm tired anyway. I'll call me tomorrow. So I'm like, all right, she's pissed.
Yeah.
Automatically, that's the first thought.
Yeah, so right.
Out at a party, whatever. I spoke to her the next day, and she was like, no, it's fine. And I was like, you're not mad? She's like, no, why would I be mad?
And then you get taken back, like, holy shit.
That's what I'm saying. It never turned into that, oh, here we go. She's going to break my balls now. No, I was never. And I knew right there, I'm like, yeah, this girl, when we get married, I'm married.
Yeah, right. When it's a different dynamic than everything you've dealt with in forever. And you're like, holy shit, this girl is cool as shit.
If you ask my little Anthony Viterio, if you ask him, he swears up and down that, you know, we have the best relationship, you know.
I was just going to say.
I'm sorry, he says the perfect relationship. I'm like, dude, it's not perfect. We fight, trust me. We fight.
I mean, everybody does.
Everyone does, and it's normal.
Just don't let it get to that next level to say stuff we're going to regret. And it's corny as it might sound. We had to do pre-Cana from church, you know, take your marriage classes. And it's true. And the first thing they tell you is never go to sleep angry. And we don't. We'll duke it out, and we'll not physically, but we'll scream. Like, now with the kids, it's different. But like, if we have to have an argument, we'll have the argument. But it doesn't escalate. We don't let.
Right.
Now you just get this.
100%. She'll do that all the time. Which me and her do all the time. If I say something stupid, try to make her laugh. She looks up and like she's talking to God. She goes, "Why?" And she does that kind of thing.
Yeah. We get around the kid, you start doing the. The fucking friends.
But it's good, bro. That's the kind of dynamic that,
what I was going to say
have.
Was
you should I end met, up marrying your best friend.
Honestly. Yeah, exactly.
Good.
But I agree with Viterio. Like you guys do have like the goals relationship. On the aspect like you guys are just you guys click well. That's what it is.
That's like, really what it is, in a sense.
Like said, you have still, that.
Like, we don't put each other through all that bullshit.
You
like all
you,
the.
You have,
where you going? Who are you gonna be? What time are you coming home? I don't
exactly.
Do She's you like, have you going out? Peace out. Be careful. Don't drive. If you're drinking.
Because you have that. You have the best friend marriage relationship.
Yeah,
everyone
like,
should have.
There's a mutual level of trust that is not always there. So like my last relationship, the trust was nowhere near that kind of level. There would be like underlying issues of jealousy and not trust, like, and you could, like, hindsight, obviously, you could see it, but
that's one of the biggest things. Friends, I know some friends are like, oh, I don't want to go out with my girl. I don't want to go out with my wife. I want to
right,
have fun.
Right.
Like, I could do that, but I could have just as much fun with her.
Right.
Honestly, you know, that's hung out with your wife.
I agree.
When we hung out at the time in the bar, I like her way better than I like you.
There you go. That's fine. You know me long. That's fine. You get tired of certain people after certain times.
I knew his wife through like various other people that we all hung out with, all her girlfriends or whatever I went to school with, and I always thought Steph was cool as shit. And then it was like, she's with Mike, and I was like, no way. I was like, that's
I remember Charlie.
I was like, that's Charlie sick. They're never gonna break up.
Charlie Badalamenti. I forgot. I think we were in Salty Dog randomly. We just started like dating or together, whatever, and. I think Charlie was talking to me and Stephanie walked in and she said hi to me. She said, hi, Charlie. She's like, I'm going to the bathroom. So she left and Charlie was like, oh man, I love that girl. I smacked her back and I said, yo, that's my girl. You know what? I'm so sorry. You know, so I did that as like a joke. And he was like, ah, I didn't know what to do.
Leave it up to Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. Didn't see that one coming.
Because no one thought me and her would be like a thing. Trust me, I never expected to be married. None of my friends thought that. And I was one of the first, but out of the degenerates that I'm friends with.
Right.
You might have been the first.
I have other friends that I know I grew up with, like, since, like, I'm a kid. Like, I'm talking about, like, a baby that got married before me.
Oh, no, I was talking about, like, the group of kids that we all hung out with.
Well, more or less. But I also have friends who are divorced.
Us too.
Married a second time.
Yeah, us too.
So
We got.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Shit will get off the pot.
Some people actually need to go through that to recognize what's real and what's not. Like, some people have to take it to that extreme level to be like, holy shit, this ain't really what I'm looking for.
That's terrible. You know?
But some people need that as a wake-up call. Not everybody has the same wavelength to figure it out.
Yeah, but when you're with someone like 10 years, 12 years, and you're like, all right, like, especially when you're young, and they're like, all right, we're going to get married. Then you get married in the last year and you get divorced. How do you not see the red flag for the last 10, 12 years?
Well, I think some people do it for everyone else and not really themselves.
Agreed. But listen, it's your wedding. And the person's wedding.
You should look at it like that.
I was with, before my wife, I was with a girl for like 3 years and I didn't want to break up because I got along with our family so well.
Yeah,
and
right.
In her brother, supposed to be in her brother's wedding, and I just wasn't happy with it. So I was like, all right, this got to stop. And even her brother said it. If you're not happy with your relationship, don't stay in it because of somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
This was her brother that said this to me. So it was like, all right, I get it. So, and then it just didn't work out. So I said,
later, bro. See.
I still went to his wedding, though. Not in it, but I went to it as a guest. It was cool like that, even though I wasn't talking to his sister anymore.
Yeah,
but it should be like that. I don't understand, like, friendships always get ruined because of relationships.
It's just an awkward situation.
For everybody.
100% awkward. Yeah.
My last relationship, I ran into him, and I was like, perfect. I'm going to push this girl into him and get the feedback. And he was like, Sean, she's hot, but she is trouble. And I was like, damn.
I told you, man. Listen, she was cool and all, but
yeah.
She was a little crazy. Listen, that's wrong. A little crazy. My wife.
No. You gotta have a certain level of crazy to make it exciting. But he was right, bro. He was right, and I was like,
I don't call. Oh, I got a gift. You get a vibe of somebody. You get a vibe. If I don't get a vibe, and you know it's not a positive vibe or anything, I just don't. Peace out. I don't want to deal with you.
Not everybody has that.
I meet some of like my wife's friends' husbands, and some of them. Some of them I get along with that I'm cool with. Some of them I'm like,
And just one thing, Mike, you will fucking tell the truth no matter what it is.
That is a part of my downfall as well as my that's another thing that why me and my wife, I don't sugarcoat things.
You don't.
Yeah.
But you don't sugarcoat to anyone.
She knows I don't do it to be malicious, but I just
that's one of the great qualities about it.
Do I look fat in this outfit? If you do, I'm going to say, yeah. I'm not going to tell you no. And she knows that. Then she, you know.
Yeah, well, she appreciates the good and the bad, you know?
No,
you
just tells me I'm lying. That's all she says. Mm-hmm. She don't believe me. Why not say things like that?
It's good. It's good. But you shouldn't take it as much of a curse. Not everybody could be so no-filtered about a lot of things like that.
No, I have a filter. It's just, I'm not going to do it to please anyone. I'm not going to say to please you. Yeah.
But there's also a difference. If you're going to, like, not beat around the bush or should, don't say like show like with anger, because then the girls are like, bro, you know what the fuck. Like, if you say joke around and you mean it, you know, they take it a different way. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but like lately I've been doing that. I've been not snapping, but I'll say things with the way I say things. I've gotten told at my job that I say things very abrasive, so like I get it, and I hear myself sometimes, and then sometimes I catch myself apologizing to my wife, because sometimes I just, she'll say something, I'm like, no. And I'm like, I just said no without even thinking of what the hell she just asked me. So, that shit, like, listen, it happens. We were together a long time. We're married 9 years.
Holy shit, that long already?
9 years was the 30th. Wow. April 30th was our anniversary.
Is there anything you miss about being single? Or not a single thing?
not a thing.
Not a thing.
It's really my kids. The freedom of going out on the drop of a dime. I miss that sometimes, but that's not because of my wife. That's because I have kids. I have responsibilities.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest.
That changes.
You're not really missing anything because not anyone goes out anymore.
Well, right now, no.
But I'm saying even before this, no one really went out.
We were talking.
If I was in Brooklyn, I'd call Anthony and we'd go out.
Yeah.
And I go out more than half my single friends do.
But that's a testament to
your
relationship and trust, which
of course
not everybody has.
Like a couple of weeks, well, I forgot what month it was in. It had to be, I don't even know if it was early last year or late last year, I mean, or early this year. Me and like 12 people went to dinner in 11th Avenue, Mama Rayo's. And I told my wife, I was like, all right, Friday night, I'm going to dinner straight from work. I'm not coming home. I'll see you Saturday. I was like, 2 weeks notice, 3 weeks notice. We have a calendar, I wrote on the calendar. I said, don't make plans. I'm not going to be home. And she, all
right. Not going to be home. Right on.
She's done it before. She went out with her girlfriends in Brooklyn or Bay Ridge before.
Listen, I used to get a text message from Anthony. And he'd be like, yo, Mo wants to go out. You down? And I'm like,
that text message come out, you drop everything, man. I don't come out.
Yeah. The last time I seen him, I was in Bay Ridge, like, ready to go home. And he walked in. I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to stay for a while because Mosky's out here. I said, Mosky's out here with the wife. I got to hang out.
And if I'm out, I'm out. I'm not going home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rare occasion.
Yo, it's actually funny because we were hanging out with a couple of girls that were like, they were smashed, bro. And I was like brand newly single. And he grabbed me and was like, that one right there, that's the one you should take home. And I was like, all right. Advice taken, noted, got it.
Listen, I told you should have went for both.
I know. I was trying to be a good friend.
Goals.
You got to share it around, you know.
Some of goals.
Listen, sometimes you got to be selfish when it comes to things like that.
I know, but I was with Ronnie, bro. Ronnie needs loving, you know.
Ronnie.
Well, that was quite early.
That would have been on. That's what I would have said.
But it was one of those times I was like, oh shit, Mosky's out of here. No, guess we're staying.
Told you, man. I told you. I was like, if we're going out, we're going out. We go out early, we stay out.
That's what it is. That's what I like too. Can't go out like 11 o'clock and then fucking.
Nah, we usually go out like between 8 and 10 sometime.
Which is good.
I ain't looking to be out till 5 in the morning. I'll go out early and leave, be home by like 2, right. 3, the latest.
The times change as we get a little bit older.
Yeah, no, I can't hang like that no more. I was asleep the other night. I was asleep in bed at 8:30 the other night. Kidding me? I can't. Especially not also because we put the kids to bed and I fall asleep in my son's bed pretty much almost every night. And I wake up 1:30 in the morning. Like, where am I?
Yeah, so for somebody that fucking was like always the eligible bachelor guy and all that, what the fuck is it like now having kids? Like, everything changes. Everything. Of course.
It's not about you anymore. It's about them. It's really good. Trust me, it was for me. It was a hard. Not gonna say a hard adjustment. I didn't know what to do with this thing. You have a baby. It's crying. It can't talk to you.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like, fortunately, we had the help of my in-laws. So like, it was good. But like, my son would wake up screaming in the middle of the night for no reason.
Like, right, and then you're like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do now?
I would wake up and say, what the fuck? Look at my wife, what the fuck is wrong with him? And then, plus also, when I would wake up, it would take me a minute to like focus on where I am. Like, because I sleep like a log. And I still do, but now when I wake up, I can like bounce up and like, all right, what's happening?
Yeah, so, right.
You learn to adjust like that.
Yeah.
The changing the diapers in the middle of the night, the bottle feeding, all that stuff. That was... So my friend Maddie right now is going through it. He's got twin boys.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife was a nurse, so it's really just him.
Oh, shit.
And when his girl was pregnant, we were scaring the shit out of him. I was. I'm like, dude, make sure you get him on the same feeding time because one's up, you got to wake the other one up.
You're never going to sleep that way.
I said, when they sleep and you sleep, I said, you'll get used to it. You have no kids going to two, so you won't know any different. You'll figure it out. I had one and then had two, and it was like, yo, what the fuck?
What does he think? He's going to have more? He's done. Two is enough.
No, he's in his early 40s. I don't see him having any more after that.
But I don't know if you want to answer this question, but you wouldn't give it up all for...
No way.
No. See, like, we were talking...
from work, and my kids run to me, daddy, 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 you crazy? It's the best thing in the world.
I mean, I have that with my niece and nephew, so I can just imagine when it's your own. You know what I mean?
Best thing.
It's a different kind of training because when you're the uncle or whatever, you could just
give them back.
Yeah, you can walk away from the situation.
When my older brothers had kids, I wasn't awkward. They were babies, and I was like, I was awkward. I was still a kid, kind of.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I'll read to you. And I'm like, yeah. And then when I had kids, I appreciated them so much more when they were a little bit older because now, like, my nephew's 15. Oh, like, shit. I could have a full-blown conversation with
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, at school. Or as,
that's how I am, too. I became an uncle at 10. Bro, 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago. So, now, seeing my nephew, I'm like, what up, bro?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you said that. My son is going to be 7 in August.
Wow.
He's into like the YouTube thing and all this nonsense, which I can't stand sometimes. But like, I came home and I forgot what I was doing. I said something like, Logan, are you eating? And he's like, and I'm like, I was screaming for him. I don't know where he was. I'm like, Logan, I came downstairs and dead serious. You know, when you like point your hand, like you pointed at it like that's right there. Mm-hmm. When you do that, he pointed at his foot and was like, I'm eating. I'm still eating, bro. Call me bro. So I was like, wait, what?
Oh, shit. He just broed me? My son just broed me.
I said. I was like, did you just bro me? And I started laughing, but I didn't know how to react. I'm like, should I be mad at you? I just had to know what to do.
You don't know if to be mad or proud. Or proud.
Man. He's like, this kid just broed me on his own. I didn't even have to teach him that. Right. Oh, Stan shit.
City kids. Acting in the woods a little bit more.
It's like, we were talking about this shit before we actually started recording, like, how different the dynamic is out in the world with, like, fucking dating apps and shit. Like, you think that you would totally fucking kill it in these days now?
It's easy now. You don't have to leave the house. You swipe.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
I don't even know how to use them, these apps. Here is you swipe.
So
you
swipe. Yeah, pretty much.
Swipe left if you don't like. Swipe right if you do.
I would just keep swiping the same. Like, why? Who cares?
Yeah, I know. Listen to me. I know a kid.
There are people like that. Yes.
I work with a kid, and it goes like this. He sits down. And he goes, all right, give me 5 minutes. Do, all right. And then the phone goes, you have no more swipes today.
Yeah.
That's how much he fucking swipes right. I'm like, how does that work?
You get an amount of swipes in a day?
Yeah, when you go crazy and you fucking swipe, they know you're fucking up to no good. So they
right.
They
limit there's only and so I'm many like, yeses that you can put
and
through
I'm
the
like,
system.
That's so terrible. When you yes all that, how many do you get back? He's like, maybe once a month. I'm like, it's a lot of fucking work for once a month.
Yeah, but the work is over this. It's this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to have a game. You have to be able to talk on the text.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not going to say that it's not because I think text game is a super important thing to have these days. It's a quality. It's a quality that that not everybody has. I think.
No, definitely not.
You know.
Not.
Well, you remember you guys were in the Nextel era. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing. Now you're talking instead of you're texting now instead of talking. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking to someone new and you're, I hate when they start going, "What are you doing?" And then you tell them. And then like comments, and then they'll text you again and be like, "So what are you up to?" Like you just asked me.
This is something that we were talking about before we started recording too.
You
that,
literally
like,
just
look,
asked me.
There are reasons why
some people
are on these apps. You know, you have to say to yourself, there's a reason why these people are still single at whatever ages that they are. That, you know, maybe they aren't the most interesting people.
Wait, I'm not going to say everyone on those apps are boring as shit, but I will say
no.
60% of them. I'm going to say a good 40 of them are on there. But I'm not going to get into this, but I am newly single, okay?
So just throw it out there, huh?
Just throw it out
throw
there.
Throw it out there.
So I could say what I want to say. So, but that's another that's a conversation for another podcast. When you start talking to someone new, you realize right off the bat, this is why they're single.
And yes, but like think about like a 40-year-old woman who is recently divorced. Now she's trying to get in the dating world. She's supposed to rely on these dating apps? No, she's going to go the way she knew. She's going to go out to a place and meet 100%. A guy. What is she going to meet when she goes out there? Shit.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I see it now before like, this whole shit locked down or whatever. Like, I at 32, 33, I'm the fucking oldest guy in the bar. And I'm just like, damn.
What do you think I feel when I go there?
What am I doing here?
And that's another reason why I like going to some of these Bay Ridge places when I'm in Brooklyn, especially like Salty Dog, because it is a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Kettle. I love going to Kettle just to watch some of these people try and pick up, or a swarm of guys, swarm of girls.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to watch. Because they'll just stand around them and dance and not say a word.
It's funny to look at it and you see – it's not that you want to see yourself, but you see this generation and how they chase girls as opposed to what we did.
It's hard,
funny.
It's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch. Some of it is cringeworthy.
I get a kick out of it.
It is funny. It is quite.
Yeah,
funny.
But and you know what? I will say when I did have a girl and everything, like, and I would go out with my single friends, and I'm like, yo, just there's a girl right there, literally staring at you, ask to buy you a drink. Nah. So how the fuck are you supposed to talk to someone?
Well, you know, I mean.
Some like, people need that icebreaker first.
Even some of us, we grew up, we were like an in-between generation where we had a lot of technology.
Don't get it wrong. I never was the type always to go straight up to a group of girls and start talking. I was not.
Me neither.
I waited for a specific window, and I found my mark, and that's when I went in. It wasn't just easy.
Or sometimes you got lucky enough where they walked up to you, and you're like, ooh, here we go.
Listen, there's so many easy ways to do the way you accidentally bump into them. Oh, I'm sorry. And then you start to talk that way. It really depends. I guess that's my time when I didn't talk to anybody. It just hung out.
But like we said before, that's how it should be. You should just be able to go out, enjoy yourself. If something happens or something clicks, you wind up meeting someone, then you take it from there. But you can't have the mindset of going out and being like, bro, I'm going to fuck mad bitches when I go out. Nah. It's never going
to
happen.
I talked to more girls going out in my head thinking I'm just going to go and chill.
Yep.
And it turns out
because it's not on your mind. Then
I'm not thinking about that.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, you were around before dating apps, and that's the new thing now. But
like, when did that start?
A couple years.
No,
back,
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, when did all of a sudden did it go from this weird thing that people were doing on the low to
it's
like
because,
publicly like, oh, well, I use all these apps because.
I don't what was like, the first one? I know like Plenty of Fish is one, right? And doesn't that
I think that is one of the first.
I think maybe, one of the first ones was and Tinder.
Tinder like blew up everything.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Tinder had like when you started seeing Tinder on television saying like, oh, do you want to casually meet maybe your future husband?
I know it was the other one. It was like the Catholic, the religious one. Was it like
Christian Mingle?
And there's like eHarmony and all that other stuff.
Yeah, but then there's like Match.com and, you know.
Match is another one.
Yeah.
If we were talking about this
on. If I was still single now and I was looking for someone, or just like, I would go on these too. Why not?
We were talking about this on the last one we had with these girls that I seen something on Instagram. There's a page specifically on Instagram right now that is like hosting dating
live.
It's like a dating app live where they're doing this like a webcam FaceTime with, and they get like a 10-minute clock and it's like, okay, go. And then like, it's either
that's
a guy.
Dating,
yeah. And everybody else gets,
it's not a bad thing in a sense. Cause at least you're having a conversation somewhat eye to eye with someone else.
Yeah.
But then, because you don't know who you're talking to on those things.
You have to sit back and hope that like everybody watching votes for who you want to pick.
Bro, what about the show?
It's
what about
weird
the
that
show
they let everybody else vote. Like, oh, this kid's personality is dog shit. I don't know if I want to read that about myself.
What show are you talking about? What are you gonna say?
What about Catfish?
I saw it vaguely Catfish? With that thing. I don't know. Like,
so. I don't know how.
Especially when you're
sending
people money and you don't never even seen them and like crazy things like that.
Here's my theory on the show. I don't know how true it is, but you can't be fucking that stupid when you're talking to.
Yo, some people are desperate for love, man. That's really what it is.
Oh, been talking to this person 5 years, never met up. You gotta love the guys that are like, yeah, send her. You know, I send her money every month, and I'm like, okay. And then you can't feel bad for them.
It's not. No, you can. You can if you want to. It's people are desperate for love sometimes, so they'll do anything to feel wanted.
Look at that Netflix shit that they came out with. What was it, Love is Blind or something? Yeah. One of those. All those things. They're like those are some desperate fucking people. That'll.
And there's some new one now where there's like 10 or 20 hot people, and they. To win money,
yeah,
to have any sexual encounter with anybody. They're on some island.
I think
really?
It's too hot to handle. Too
yeah, something like that,
some
yeah.
shit.
What are they
it's
doing
like
now?
If you like pleasure yourself, you get money.
Yeah, so
get the fuck out of here. Here's my proof. Here's the proof.
Something like that. And that's
you
all
know,
like becoming a attraction for TV.
So you,
like
Sean, that. You start off with $100,000, and everything you do, you get money deducted.
Ah.
Even making out with anyone. Anything. Out, even pleasuring yourself.
Yeah, you get more shit.
Maybe I got to look into that. That's kind of funny, actually. Interesting to see how some people could really hang up being sexual at all for an X amount of time. I think it's almost survive. Impossible. No,
I couldn't survive that. I don't know how long that period is. I couldn't do that.
No, because I'd be drunk like 5 out of 7 days a week. So I'm going to be super horny the whole time.
On some island somewhere.
What about a girl? When the girl jumps on you, she's like, fucked 100,000.
Yeah, right. Because then girls are drinking every day too. And you know how girls get when
they're losing money too, though.
But if it's like 10,000 at a time, maybe I'll do it 5 times and come home with
50,000. I'm assuming if you have sex, it's a good chunk of money gone.
10,000, 5 times, come home with 50,000. I'm okay with it.
Well, I'm sure that there's some underlying shit when I go, look, we're going to try to do this on the low and we'll split it.
Ain't no, you mean no low. The camera's all over that. Like,
we'll split the deductions and whatever total we end up with, we'll try to split it up and we'll still nice have a nice chunk.
I'm sure you got to sign a contract that you don't do that.
There was
probably.
There was an episode that I watched of Catfish that was actually pretty funny. There was two people actually catfishing each other. And when they met up, they were exes. And they were brutal looking too. So they got up and they were like, you motherfucker. And one was, they were each other's exes. They were both catfishing each other.
Like on purpose? They knew that they were?
No. Like I was catfishing someone and she was catfishing me. And I wound up going there and then we were exes. Like we went out before.
That's terrible.
Well, that's some small world shit. You can't
remember. That's freaky shit.
That's the kind of shit that say you guys are made for each other.
I was just about to say, you might as well just get back together.
Yeah,
that's scary because now, like, my son plays these video games on his tablet where his friends involved, but like, there's no chatting. And I told him, don't be telling nobody your real age.
But he's, you know, and it's funny because they're like so naive, they don't understand. Oh, why can't I just tell them that, you know, I live over here and my name is this and that?
It's funny
like,
that you said that.
Like, they don't know to not trust strangers like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Hopefully, my kids know not to trust strangers.
No, I know, but like,
I think my daughter, even though she's 5, she might punch me in the face.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Trying to grab her or anything?
Some kids are just genuinely nice people. So if somebody says, "Hey, what's your name? You want to be friends?" They're like, "Oh, he's my friend,
Mike."
That's what throws me off about living here. Everyone's so nice. I feel like they're shady.
Yeah, right.
Nice people. Yeah, it's really weird. Coming from Brooklyn, everyone's like so nice. Like he's a murderer. He's a killer.
Yeah,
some of these people are hillbilly-looking people, but like you know, they lived here their whole lives, and they live in like Pennsylvania in the sticks or whatever, and they come live here. And for me, living where I live, come here, I'm like, yeah, this is the sticks in a sense, a very rural area.
Well, yeah, because you know, you got to think about it. You know, we grew up thinking about different things as priorities. You know, like we made sure our outfits looked nice. Like these kids probably wore filthy sneakers going to house parties. Because they walked through the woods, 100%. You know, like they didn't have to look pristine because their clothes got dirty. You know, it's different. Like,
there's no riding your bike on the sidewalk. There ain't no sidewalk riding. These are all major roads.
Yeah, but you gotta understand something. Where when you move away from here, everyone here is so fucking rude. Everyone's
it's
a
the
piece
hustle
of shit.
And the bustle of the city.
You know what I mean?
Everyone's gotta go somewhere.
You can't even like stop for a minute. It was like, get the fuck out of it. You know, and then you go somewhere where it's all quiet. You're like, bro. Where do I live right now? You know what I mean?
Like but even also, when, like this main roads here where people are like, you're 80 miles an hour. Where are you going? What's the rush? Here people have a heavy foot depending on where you are, what area, what major highway or whatever route you're on. But it's just a different.
Because it's so desolate that there's nobody out there.
I was in the left lane of Route 7, and the left lane apparently is the lane where you're supposed to go up and move over.
Oh yeah.
I'm just driving. I'm already speeding. I'm already doing like 60 and 50, and the guy's flashing me. So I just kept driving. And the same thing. He got finally passed the person next to me, got in front of me, and as he drove by, he gave me the finger. So I was like, oh, just like at home.
Yeah.
So I laughed. I laughed for 10 minutes. I was like, this guy, what a dick. That's how
you forget that like elsewhere that those like lanes actually mean something.
All of a sudden, he passes you. His license plate says New York.
It's like
I checked to see if it was the other place it wasn't.
Being in New York, we just pick like the fastest lane and go. It, like,
yeah, no, I don't speed anymore, man. Screw that shit. I don't need no tickets.
I'm not a speeder. I cruise.
I cruise too, but I don't like being in traffic and then I see the lane next to me and everybody's going.
No, that's but
I hate too. I hate that. And then when you get into that lane, that one stops.
Everyone stops. It stops automatically.
Always how it is.
You know what I never got? Where the fuck does traffic start?
Somewhere.
One douche wants to hit his brake too much.
But
it's hard to say, bro. Like, think about it. Staten Island, widen their highways, and it's still terrible. That like it's just when they built all these highways, I don't think they anticipated the amount of people living in this fucking state.
Look at the what's the bridge? The Gothel's Bridge. It was used to be two lanes in each direction. Now it's three lanes in each direction. They built an entire bridges next to it.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So it's
crazy.
I still think one of the worst has got to be the BQE.
And the Van Wyck.
The Van Wyck is terrible.
One time, you know what I did to myself? It was brutal. I was coming home from Springfield, right? So instead of, I tried to take a detour, which I didn't know where I was going. So I winded up on the Van Wyck, and I literally sat in an hour and a half traffic just to turn back around and go one exit back on the Bell Parkway. I gave myself
like that, I don't not miss at all.
Bro, no, I wanted to shoot myself. I was just to take a 10-minute detour to get back on I went an hour and a half out of way. I was like,
so when I go home, I get on Route 84 from 684. So 684 turns into 22, and a lot of people go up to like Brewster, New York. That's where that is. So I could go straight and take the scenic route and go a different way. Or I could get an 84 and take that to 7, and then it's a little bit faster. So 84 during normal hours, during normal non-corona time, it's usually like a mile back the lane. But it's still there, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and everybody gets off the egg, 5 minutes. I could be a mile back, 5 minutes, and everybody gets off.
How long does it take you now with corona out there?
Normally it takes like an hour and 10 when it was normal. Now it's just like 5 to 8 minutes faster.
Oh, okay.
I'm still doing, I'm on 684, I'm doing 80. Still, okay. You know, 75, 80. So it's not really traffic. Normally. Unless there's an accident, obviously.
What, your kids being out there, do they miss Brooklyn at all, or they really don't know the difference?
It's funny. My daughter, I miss Nona's house because I miss walking to the store. I can walk to the store.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially now that they can't really go see them because of the Rona.
So what do you think you miss most about the fucking when everything was normal?
Honestly, I feel bad more for my kids because seeing friends now, it's like things like this they got to talk on, like Zoom or Skype or FaceTime. And like my son my daughter, you know, dance and gymnastics and all this other stuff going on. My son just finished basketball, and he was supposed to do baseball, and now that's kiboshed.
Yeah.
The stuff like, I feel bad for them, but they're fine. they understand.
They play games and stuff.
They're home all day. Yeah. Mommy's home all day. She's working from home, but they're home.
Nice.
Yeah, right. I feel bad because this school year's finished.
Yeah.
My kids out here, they start the third week in August. So we don't even know if what's going to happen.
Oh, shit.
They're supposed to start school, like real school.
Something just came out that they were saying that it's a 50-50 chance that schools are opening in September.
New York ain't opening. Well, New York's definitely closed, I heard, for this year, rest of this year.
Rest of this year. And I'm here in January fucking 2021.
I don't know. Because normally, my kids' schools open a week before New York. So they start like the third week in August. But they finished 2 weeks before New York in June. They finished like June 13th, unless we get snow days. So that's the thing about up here. You get any kind of snow, anything, they shut the school. Not either shut it with a two-hour delay.
Oh, wow.
This icy conditions, two-hour delay. They just take it off the back. So they'll make up at the end. That's why they finish school mid-June, but they can go to like June 26th.
You guys get a lot up there, no?
This past year, actually, not really. I have the snow blower. I used it maybe twice. The year before, I have a friend that I went to middle school that lives up here. That's how I heard about the town that I live in. And she's like, this past winter wasn't that bad. She's like, it could be a nuisance, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, whatever. I have a snowblower, so no big deal. Half hour up and down the driveway, done. No big deal. And last year wasn't terrible, but I used it like a handful of times. This past year, this winter was nothing. I used it twice maybe. It's nothing.
Yeah, I think the whole tri-state area this year barely snowed at all.
No.
We got a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So you went from shoveling the stairs to jumping on your snowblower.
I'll take the snowblower, man. The stairs are a pain in the ass.
I know, man.
Fuck that.
I plug that snowblower in to the wall because it has that electric start. You push the button, the thing kicks on. Make sure it's filled with gas. 30 minutes up and down the driveway.
See you later.
30 minutes. And that's another thing.
And I got a long driveway.
Growing up, like once it snowed, I was out there with the shovel making money.
Nah, at least
bro, these kids are lazy. These kids are lazy as shit. Now, one kid knocked on my door. I was hoping. I was like, one kid, I'll pay you. Just shove up my driveway down. No one. I had to go out there myself and do it. I was like, wow, shit has changed.
I also have a guy here that does work for me, like with trees and stuff. If I want to take a tree down, he plows in the wintertime. And he's like, it's $40 a pass. He's like, pass it usually means like 3 to 6 inches of snow with one pass. So it's not terrible.
Well, I try to do that with my job, that I try to hit everybody's blocks that I know. I plow the shit for everybody. Like, you're supposed to get a specific route and plow these streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I tell my foreman, I'm like, yo, I'm going to go hit my neighborhood, all the West streets. I got it. Don't worry. So then I go down through the neighborhood, and I'm like Snapchatting, sending videos out. I'm like, yo, don't worry. I got
while
it.
You're driving, realize.
Yeah, I got it.
Stupid. So one of the yards that I have to do is right here on AMUS and McDonald. So when
the gate station?
What? Yeah,
the
one
gate
of
station?
The gate station. That's where I'm pulling out of right now.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So I walk right there. No traffic, four blocks.
So, you're still on the West 5th?
Yeah, I'm back on West 5th now.
Where were you?
We moved to 17th Avenue, and now we're back on West 5th.
Where Dom is?
Where Dom is, yeah. My brother lives downstairs. I live next
Pat's old house. Christina's.
Yes, exactly.
House.
Yeah, exactly. So
he can't get off of that block, bro.
I try to leave, the shit pulls me right back.
Pulls him right back.
Wheezy and Little Wheezy are still there too, right?
Yeah, everyone's still here. There's a few left from the original crew. Like
the Chivalis are still there.
The Chivalis are still here. Amanda
Florio's still there.
I thought Andrew bought a house in Rock.
Anthony did. Anthony did.
Oh, Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony.
But
Anthony did.
Andrew's still here. Amanda's still here. Yeah. Amanda's still here. My cousins are still here. Rosie is still
They're
here.
Still on West 6th, your cousins?
No. No, they left.
The twins.
No, they left. They're in Staten Island now. And yeah, so block is still popping. Nah, it's not.
Nobody there.
There's no one here. There's no one here.
Bro, there's not even within the whole cluster of like the Bensonhurst area. There aren't even block parties anywhere anymore. Barely is. Barely.
Even when they do it, you got three people out there. No,
it hasn't been a good block party in like 20 years.
Yeah. Our last block party.
For real.
That was even. I wasn't even at our last block party. I forgot why I wasn't there, but I wasn't even there. Didn't like a brawl breakout?
Yeah, there was.
We're talking about West 5th here. There was a brawl every there was a brawl on a Tuesday night every time you were here.
Sean, you're in 11, the one the station behind Nelly Bly?
Yeah, yeah.
My father was there for a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah, he retired gotta be well over 10 years.
That's where you are?
Yeah, there's a lot of old timers that are there. There's guys that are not that much older than us that are neighborhood guys that are don't
work. My father's pushing almost 70.
Bro, there's some guys.
He might have been retired even closer to 15 years.
Yo, I work with some guys that they've been there for fucking since 90, 80, 88.
30 years? That's crazy.
Yeah, they don't want to leave, bro. They don't want to leave.
When you were plowing, my brother John, I don't know if you guys remember my little black Sentra, my Nissan that I had?
Yeah, yeah.
My brother John, back when the car had to be brand new, he was in college at St. John's in Queens. And my father was still working sanitation, so we had the blizzard in 96.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So my brother had to go to school, so he had to dug out the car all night, cleaned all the way around so he could just get in the car in the morning and go. And the old man, Joey's grandfather, cleaned out his street and buried my brother's car back in. So now my brother got up, he was fucking furious. He's like, what do I do? He said, like, call my father. My father's like, I'll be there in 10 minutes. He was working. He came with the snowplow, and he pushed. So he's like, back. He helped my brother dig the car. Back the car. My father pushed snow all the way up to his front door, backed out, and drove away.
See ya.
Yeah. And he's screaming in Italian, my father, and just drove away.
What was I going to say? How long have you been at your job now?
Almost 12 years.
12 years.
I got another 19 to go, but who's counting?
Yeah, right.
I'm pushing. I'm about to hit 4 years now. In June.
Sucks.
4 years, yeah. Bro. I feel like
When I was 4 years in, I had a good... My job was fun when I first started. Now, not so much.
I'm
not going to say the company. I'm not going to bash them. It's just bad. It's a lot of too much politics instead of just getting work done.
I've almost made the transition. I almost made it.
To what?
To where you are.
We showed up to take the test.
Yeah, I call him Mike. He's like, it's good. I was like, fuck it, I'm not going. I'm already here. Where am I gonna go? Just move.
What is your title? Like, what's the top pay in your title?
The top pay?
Yeah.
Mechanic pay, like yearly, is 100. They're making like 120.
Without overtime?
It's a little bit of overtime, but
What's hourly rate?
100,000. That's what their base is.
That's at top.
That's top, yeah.
I'm at that now. I'm not even near top base.
Well, yeah, but you're a different department.
Yeah, but even if I was, yeah, that's true. My title is it's weird. I mean, gas, but it's senior electrical technician, which makes no sense.
But like, fancy name. The fancy.
Yeah, it's
name.
So stupid.
Like my job title in your company is pretty much it's the same pay.
It's similar. I'm sure it's different.
Yeah.
And it's depending on the department or whatever.
Yeah.
But your company is more global than mine.
Yeah, because we're based out of the UK.
Yeah. They have them up here where I am.
Oh shit.
Parts of where I am.
Yeah. And what's the rest of it?
They have Rhode Island, they have Massachusetts, your company.
Yeah, my company, so, yeah.
Mine is just your tri-state area. Just the city, really.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They go up to like Orange and Rockland County as well, I believe.
So what do you think? You think you're going to stay? Is that your forever house, Mike? Or are you going to move again when you retire?
I don't know, honestly. It really depends on the tax situation. I plan on retiring at 55. My wife doesn't think so.
I got a question for you. For the people listening, you think it's a smart move if they have a chance to get out of New York and make the switch if they have kids and everything? And
it really depends, because you could leave New York and still be close to New York. You could go to Jersey. You really can. I know plenty. One of my brothers is in Jersey. You could go to Jersey. It depends on where you work, what you do,
where in
Jersey you go.
Yeah, or and if you're willing to take the sacrifice.
100%. If you're in Jersey, you're paying tolls. Regardless.
Everywhere you go.
I have no tolls.
Zero tolls.
Which is sweet.
That could change, you know.
Bro, when I go see my sister in Jersey, it's literally $50 to go see my sister.
That's because Ferris on a bridge is like 35.
Bro, I know. It's between the tolls and the gas and whatever you fucking got, it's $50 to go see my sister in Jersey.
So if you drove to my house, it'd take you probably about 2 hours to get to my house where you are. An hour 45 because now there's no traffic. And the only toll you'll have if you go a certain way would be the Whitestone Bridge.
Wow.
That's it. What is the Whitestone Bridge? $8, $12, whatever it is.
Well, they had all these plans in place before this fucking shit hit the fan of like, I remember reading something about them trying to implement a Brooklyn pass for like, for the Verrazano Bridge that we would pay like half, like how all the Staten Island people do. But, I think the whole city's going to say that they're broke now. So they're
the other thing I heard was
they're not going to change anything.
What they're going to do in Manhattan, I heard, any car that goes below, I forgot what it was, 96th Street?
Yeah, that.
Down to 14th Street, they're going to get hit with a toll. The camera going off and send you a bill in the mail.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Inside Midtown. Anytime you go in and out of it. I'm like, that's retarded.
Bro, you're going to get a fucking ticket one day for putting the music too loud. Snap.
You can't drive down 14th Street now from 8th Avenue to 3rd. You can't. It'll allow you no vehicles to go down.
Oh, is that one of the walkways?
No, this was before the pandemic. Even before.
Oh, really?
Not allowed to drive between those avenues. If you end up on that street, you have to make the first right that you can.
It's called the corner.
It's getting fucking
driving. That's it. You're done.
It's getting ridiculous out there, bro. It really is. It
once again, this is why to deal with all this congestion and have to deal with all of it at home. It's time to go.
It makes you not even want to drive anywhere.
You can't even. I couldn't even afford to buy a garage in Brooklyn.
it's like between going out and the traffic and all the bullshit and all the camera lights and all this and all that. But who wants to even drive anymore?
Yo. It's fucking crazy that since all this shit hit and there's really nothing to do, there's nothing to do. How much money my bank account is growing?
Sick.
Because I'm like, oh, I have nothing to spend my money on because I'm fucking stuck here.
As fast as me and my wife are making it, as fast as we just spent it. I just bought a lawnmower. She just bought a desk. She was painting. I just bought paint at the painted kitchen next. The honey-do list is just getting longer and longer.
Well, look, now, I mean, now it's like, well, we're home a lot more. So all those things that you were, like, putting off that I'll get to, well, now you're really going to get to them.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I actually sit.
You're going to build a pool probably soon. Watch.
Don't give anybody ideas, yeah.
I sit in bed sometimes, and I'm like, what can I order? Like, I have extra money now. What do I want to order? And I get frustrated because I can't order anything. I'm going to order a lawnmower. I don't even have grass in Brooklyn. Just order one. Oh, just in case.
I had to buy one that you drive.
You think I'm going to walk all my way, are you crazy?
That's fucking awesome. Yeah,
Are you sitting on there waving to your neighbors?
If they're out and they see me, sure, why not?
You have those fucking headphones on to muffle the sound of the lawnmower?
I have those. I also have ones that go in my ear, like literally plug into your ear, like good ones that are molded to my ears from my job. So I wear those.
Oh, you got them from your job, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Of course. There's got to be perks. We all have perks of our jobs.
Yeah, there is. Listen, you got a lot more. You have better perks than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some guys that take, like, the corner baskets on the corner. They take them home. They put them in their backyard for barbecues and shit. They we all plow our own blocks and shit. We do our friends and houses and all that.
You also leave work at 9:30 in the morning to go home.
Yeah. Some guys do. Shady. But look.
everyone knows it's happening. As long as you're back for roll call.
Yeah. The way they explain it is like, look, we're going to give you a route. It's an 8-hour day. Do with it what you like. So some guys want to fly through it. Some guys milk it. Some guys take their time, you know.
It's all about six to two.
Yeah. Well, during this, everybody's been 5-1 to, like, really dodge human traffic. You don't see anybody. Yeah. Like, everybody's still sleeping, and we try to get off the street as fast as possible to, like, not have to intermingle with anybody.
I would stick with that even when the corona's over.
Well, that's the thing. Like, everybody's getting so used to, like, everybody's getting it up and getting the fuck out of there that when things go back to normal – and you can't exactly, like, dip out every day.
So
it's going to be, like, a big change. Like, what are we all – everyone's like, what happens when this is all over? Like, everybody's going home so early. Like, guys are going to the beach. Guys are going to lay in their pool. Guys are doing all kinds of shit, like, on the clock technically or whatever. But when things go back to normal, how everyone's going to adjust to, like, lingering around the building until we can go home or whatever.
You might
sleep in the car until it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Some of the departments at my job are doing 1 week on, 1 week off.
I'm apparently too essential to have that.
Us too. That's how we are.
Us too.
We just started doing this last week. You get Monday or Friday. Half the department gets Monday, half the department gets Friday.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'll take a small department.
I only have barely 20 guys in my department.
Nah, we got about 70 and
so I'm off every Friday until June.
Nice.
The whole month of May.
That's good, but that's great.
But I'm getting
at least you got Friday. I mean, really doesn't matter whether they're Friday or Monday. You still get a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's turned into Groundhog Day anyway.
The rotation where they'll have a 4-day weekend and they have a regular weekend. Mm. I just stuck with just the Fridays. But they still want us to do our routine work, which is a lot more in the public than it was before.
So how's it working where you're still going to work and then your wife is like, working at home, right?
I feel bad for her because she's got to work from home and deal with the kids all day.
So, like, when you do you swap when you get home or no?
Of course. It's the second I walk in the door and she knows I'm home because she's still working. I'm home at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
she's
usually
working until like 5, 6 sometimes. Depends on what she is. Sometimes she signs off like 4. Depends what she's doing. A lot of times, you know, mommy, mommy, mommy. And all I hear is, your father's home, go ask him. Listen, I'm not mad at that. Listen,
no, you can't. The minute you them all day, you got
the minute you walk up. In, the minute you walk in, she's like, "You're it."
Pretty much, more or less, without the slap. It is the slap. It ain't in the hand. I'll tell you that much. Nah, but it's true. Listen, she's working, taking phone calls, taking meetings. Sometimes it's video stuff, and she can't. She tells him, "I'm on the phone. Don't bother me." She'll shut the door, lock herself in the bedroom. And tell the kids keep quiet, go downstairs or whatever. So it's I'm sure it's very difficult for her.
Yeah,
I have the luxury of going to work and not having to do
right.
It.
I can't see, like, when we jump on this thing an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is. I can't see myself doing this for 8 hours, bro. I can't.
I couldn't, but like the way.
Yeah.
sometimes I just don't want to be out and be in a field anymore.
100 Me
if
too.
If my pay wouldn't change, I'll do whatever the hell they wanted me to do in the office. If I'm busy, I won't even feel it.
No, right. I'm saying, like, I could do an office job. I'm saying, like, being on this fucking Zoom thing for, like, 6 hours straight. I couldn't.
Nah,
well, there's other pluses and minuses with jobs like that, man. You talk to people that do shit like this all the time. They'll tell you, like, they have fucking eye problems and shit. They need glasses.
Listen, I have bad back problems. I'm just reading forward. You get hand cramps. Yeah. Like, I have all this stuff from field work. My wife probably has it from sitting at a desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
My legs.
Their fingers are fucked up. You're getting, like, arthritis from typing and fucking.
You get carpal tunnel. You get back pain.
Yeah.
I know people in my office have the regular desk that they work in, and then they have that whole tabletop that lifts up.
That lifts up. We have that too. Yeah. We have that too.
But you got to stretch your legs, man.
Bro, my legs are sleeping right now. My laptop on my legs, and my legs are out cold.
Because you got the Rona problem.
I'm going to get that antibody test. I might have had it Super Bowl weekend. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, but the thing about the antibody test is, like, it only helps you in a certain amount of time. So if you think you had it or you tested and then, like, you were sick, like, 8 weeks ago, it's not going to show up now, bro. It's not going to say
anything. I don't know. I would like to do it for the peace of mind either way.
No, because I know people who had it that would test it positive and still went to go get this antibody test, and they're coming up negative.
Well, there's also people saying that they never had it, or they don't know if they had it, but they're getting positive because they had a flu shot or some shit like that. So no one knows anything about this.
Bro, there's so many there's so many stupid things. We spoke about this on before. People were like, oh, it's from the 5G towers.
Yeah.
What part of Italy has a 5G tower? Let me tell you. Let me ask you.
They barely have air conditioning.
They don't take care of themselves in Italy. That's why.
I know a lot of
guys that I worked with in my job, in my different departments, heavier set people that had heart attacks and died. I know a girl, 37 years old, from Marine Park, had a heart attack and died. I think that because it's a respiratory issue, that it messes up your breathing, which turns
everything fucked
up. Yeah, of course. We spoke about this virus attacks all your weaknesses. If you have anything wrong with you, that's the first thing it's going for.
And no one knows anything about this. They do. There's brilliant people on this earth. No one knows what to do with this stupid thing.
But that's what I'm trying to say. That's the only reason why I don't think it came from, like, bro, there's people that have been working on fucking anything that's impossible, and then they can't figure out nothing. Like, they can't even just to make it go away for a little. It's just it's this fucking virus is insane.
You're never gonna hear the truth.
I don't think so.
And even if we did,
I don't know.
Even if we did, what could we do about it?
Like,
I came out right now and said I made it, were you guys gonna show up?
Would you ever take a coronavirus vaccine? No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I don't want to be the first wave. I'll be like the fourth wave, maybe.
Because especially now they're trying to push it to get it out. You don't know what the hell that is.
I get flu shots.
I'm not gonna get that.
Yeah, I never got a flu shot in my life either. And you know what?
My kids get it. I don't get it.
Up until this year, fucking 32 years on Earth, I've never gotten the flu. So whether I had the Rona or the flu, this was the first time I ever got, like, really, really sick to the point where I was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, so that I would say that's a pretty good ratio year to year that I don't get the flu.
My kids didn't get it last year, the year before, and then they got the flu. And I'm like, nah, we're not playing that game. So they got sick, but it wasn't the same kind of.
Right, it wasn't the same level.
And I said, I never got the flu shot. I'm not going to start getting it now.
Me neither. Sure. I've never. Everyone's like, you got the flu shot. I'm like, no, bro. I have not gotten it in the last 29 years. I'm not going to start now.
No.
And everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get the flu shot right now. What is that going to do for you?
I don't know, but.
It's not going to do anything for you now.
We might be walking down a path where people are like, yo, did you get your flu shot? Did you get your COVID shot?
100%. Like I said 100 times, this coronavirus will be the new flu. It's going to come back every year, and it's going to go through a whole
period. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about coming back the next flu season.
Yeah, but it's not going to come back.
Because you can't do this every year. You can't.
No.
You can't sustain this.
Listen.
You can't.
In about a couple months, they'll have something where it just simmers it down, and then you have to go to the doctor, get the flu shot, get the fucking – get the corona shot, get fucking
good. I'll wait till the first couple of months get it and then see what happens with that.
Well, like, look.
We'll see the percentage of how many people fucking die from it. Good.
Well, what happens if
Malaria drug is going to do something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what happens if like tomorrow it comes out like, all right, we found out that China made it. Now what? Now what happens?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna
do? I don't know.
What are you gonna do? Shoot missiles at them? You can't do anything.
No, I don't know.
Trump. I feel Trump will make some ridiculous money deal that'll
lock things. But
the U.S.
in
will
place.
Make a lot of money off of them for that. And if they don't agree to it, then they just start dropping bombs. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
He's friendly with the president there, which apparently he was ready to die. He was sick too, I heard, or something.
He died.
Oh, wow.
No, he didn't.
No,
John, whatever his name is.
I read an article the other day. He's out. He was hanging out, taking pictures or whatever. They all thought he was dead or near death or whatever.
Wasn't he in like
they a... They don't know shit.
Wasn't he like brain dead or something?
Nah, he's chilling.
He was saying the U.S. is pissed because China didn't give the right numbers of infected or some nonsense. I can't. That was another thing I told my wife. She was glued to CNN for like a month. I'm like, I can't watch this shit.
Yeah, anymore. No, can't, bro. You can't watch this shit every day.
But here's the thing.
It starts fucking with your mind.
It's like, look at the numbers and that was it. It's like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, but even the numbers are bullshit too because now they're just counting everything. Every time someone dies, it's like, add them to the list.
Because every death by coronavirus state gets money in relief fund. So any death they're going to have in their state, they're going to say, yeah, it was cool.
It's like, oh, died in a car accident.
Check it.
Corona.
Well, how do you prove, even though the accident might have killed them and say they were positive, how do you prove that they didn't have a seizure when they crashed and died?
Because also true. He's got a point.
They're not going to do autopsies. They're burning these people's bodies.
And yeah. Sick.
Put them in freezing trucks and stuff. That's terrible.
Put them in U-Haul trucks.
Yo, they shut down a funeral home that he had. He had too many bodies that, like, he didn't have enough storage for all these bodies that he was supposed to have wakes for.
I thought there were no funerals. I was at work last week in the Bronx, and I saw 3-4 funerals I was driving by.
No, they're still having funerals, but it's supposed to be small.
So, before, oh, listen shit, to this.
I saw 70, 80 people outside a funeral home.
Listen.
Tuesday.
I know.
So, before this all really got bad and they shutting everything down, I know my mom's childhood friend passed away, and everyone who went to that funeral all got corona. Every single person, there was 15 of them, all 15 got them.
Well, you saw what the Hasidics were doing in Brooklyn.
I don't even want to get into that topic right
now. My boy is a cop in Williamsburg, best friends, and he's out on patrol every night. Like, he's telling me like crazy horror stories that he's like hand-to-hand combating with these kids, like trying to separate people and like tossing them. Like, you're too close to this guy. Get out of the way. Like,
but you heard
they
about,
don't give a fuck at
but
all.
You heard
but they,
about the
they
one.
They don't have. They're not allowed culturally to watch the news or anything like that. So they're going by whatever their head.
Everything though.
That's yeah, what they but do. Their that's head rabbi is the one that's giving them the news.
Yeah, but Mike,
so they're not watching the same shit that we're watching. They have no idea. They like live within a bubble. They have no idea what's going on.
But that's
so
why
they take it as they don't know.
Of
whatever.
Course, but that's why they're always in everyone's business because Mike working for where? How many times have you come? What are you doing? What's down there? What do you got going on there? What the fuck? Yo, back the fuck up.
Well, you definitely deal with it more than I do because I'm not in that area of that community. But they'll be the first ones to be calling, complaining where their stimulus check is. I'll tell you that much.
So no? you heard about the story where a couple of young kids, they coughed on the firefighter and
I punched that kid in the face.
Me
I'm
too,
sorry.
Right? I told my boss, I said, listen.
I don't know how that guy held back, bro.
If you send this to the area, I'm letting you know now. If you get a complaint, it's from me because I will kick someone in the face. I'll throw wrenches. Exactly what I told him. He goes, do what you got to do. Okay.
Yo,
no
we had the same situation.
Job,
we had the same situation like that in my job because for their community, the Passover holiday, I didn't know until I got hired on the job. Like, their tradition for Passover, they like literally throw out everything in their house, like all their silverware, their fucking tableware, furniture, all kinds of shit, because it's like a cleanse, and then they start over. So think about the entire community of Borough Park, all of them throwing out everything in their house at the same time. So they usually need more trucks to go to that neighborhood. And all the guys in my depot were like, nah, we ain't going over there because it's a fucking hot zone. I'm not going there. And every higher up is like handed down these threats like, we're going to write you all complaints. And then like, that's fine. Show me what to sign. Cause
you know, it's a smart
that
move.
Neighborhood's on their own this year. I'm sorry, bro. Fuck that.
You know, it's a smart move. Have everything plastic. Just throw it out anyway.
Yeah, but not everybody's going to listen.
Well, they have like two of everything in that home. They have two kitchens, two everything. For that, they have that whole separation, male, female.
Yeah.
I remember working when I used to DJ. I worked up, like it had to be a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah or something. And one of the girls that we were working with went across the street to get pizza, brought it into the place and used the fork. And the guy like lost his mind. And they took the fork. He didn't even touch it. He had to take the fork with a napkin. And he threw it right in the garbage. He didn't even think you touched outside food that wasn't kosher. That's to go in the garbage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This is years ago. They like swear by their religion, which, listen, that's fine. You want to have faith, but don't shit on everybody else because no one believes in your religion.
Or not even that.
Right.
Just if whatever you want to do in your religion, it's your life, but something like this, just participate. That's all we're asking.
I forgot who it was. Somebody told me there's like a crazy documentary. I think it's on Netflix or something.
And it's called Unorthodox.
It's like a group of fucking Hasidic Jews that leave the community and go out as regular people.
Called Unorthodox.
They leave the religion or whatever, and it's like they have like this crazy eye-opening experience to like what else goes on in the world, you know? I think about wearing the same outfit every day.
My wife, my sister-in-law is partly Jewish, raised Jewish and Catholic, so she did the whole Christmas and Hanukkah thing, and that's how they raise their kids too. And she told my wife about it, and I'm like, I don't think I'll pass on that show. I'm good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I mean, think about it in the sense of, bro, you wear the same fucking suit for like 30 years of your life, and then you leave, and you go to the mall. And you're like, look at the entire selection I have to choose from. You just walk into Macy's alone. They probably have like anxiety issues through the roof. They can wear blue shirts, black shirts, white shirts, green shirts.
What's the ones that the Amish, what about them? The whole electricity.
Yeah.
That's probably got to be even more crazy.
That is crazy. That's a whole nother community.
Wasn't buggy, like, they don't get into cars or anything like that.
Lives within a bubble that has no idea what the fuck is going on.
Honestly, they're probably happy. I'll say one thing. Without any of this technology and bullshit, they ain't got no stress.
Oh, because they don't have the Rona because of 5G?
Because 5G. I don't really think – I try to think of that all the shit that we have is more of a gift than a burden.
Yeah, it's it.
And then who the fuck wants to live like that in the fucking – the equivalent of the Stone Age when you know that other people have laptops and cell phones and fucking
– Yeah, but I was just going to say that. You didn't have a cell phone.
Think about when you were a kid, right? And you never had a cell phone.
You got to know that it's out there, no?
But
you got to know.
When you were a kid and you had no cell phone or anything, you were just outside playing all day.
Look, I was the fucking...
You weren't happier than going, fuck, my phone's about to die.
I was the last person to get a cell phone out of my crew of friends. I had a beeper forever, and I was like, I was purposely thrown into a pool with my beeper on me because my friends knew that if they did that to me, that would force my parents' hands into throwing out the beeper and buying me a cell phone.
I had a beeper, and then I used to use my mom's prepaid cell phone with the antenna that was like this long. They pull all the way out.
Yeah.
And that's what I had.
Hold on. I got to get a better reception and hold it all the way up.
Call me at 8 o'clock so minutes are free.
I used to do that.
After 8 it was free. Well, after 9
after 8 it was free. Well, when you clicked the online button and you were like, fuck, because you would get charged for going online.
I remember I used to pay a little extra. I had a deal where my nights and weekends started at like 7 or 6 o'clock and free incoming calls. So I'd be like, yo, call me right back. I'm busy, even though I wasn't doing anything. And then I could talk for hours because it wasn't going into my minutes.
Bro, when 8 o'clock came, you thought you were who the fuck you were.
Yeah. Now I can make all the calls I want.
But back then,
the web all you want.
But back then, we really didn't even use our cell phones. We were all out.
Yes and no. I mean, I loved my Nextel. My Nextel was
too.
My favorite thing ever.
But I used to chirp people standing fucking 3 inches away from me just to be a dick.
Or the kids that had Nokias. I'd be like, yo, can I play Snake? And I'd just take your phone and
that phone play was fucking indestructible.
Stupid.
That phone was indestructible.
Stupid computer games.
The Nokia.
Oh.
Even the Nextels.
I-1000. It's a drop the thing all the time.
I went to school with a kid that had like the construction worker Nextel phone.
The black and yellow one?
Yes.
The black and yellow one?
Yeah, we watched it. He dropped his phone when we were crossing the street and a fucking cheese bus ran it over. And he ran over across the street and he picked it up and the thing still worked. That would never happen now. You can't even drop it.
You drop an iPhone.
If you have a hole in your fucking pocket, your phone is shattered in 100 pieces.
Bro, you drop an iPhone on your mattress, the thing fucking breaks in 15 pieces. $300 later. You got insurance? Yeah, the phone's $300. Okay.
Well, now they're like $1,200.
Yeah.
$300's a bargain.
Yeah.
You seen that new what's the one that's coming out? The new Razer? The flip one?
The flip one? Not the flip one. And they making a flip iPhone or something like that?
No, it's the Razer. Remember the Razer? Right.
They were remaking the Razer.
The Razer phone, and it's like it flips up, and it's a touch screen, but it thing's like fucking $1,500 or something crazy.
What's it called? One Samsung made one, something flip, and the screen opens up to a tablet. It's like this big. When you fold it up, it looks like a regular cell phone.
Oh shit!
They tried it out and folded it in like 10, 15 minutes and folded it, it broke.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I seen that. They had like a fucking a callback on all those products that they pushed down the street. I'm like, no, return it and we'll give you a new phone because they do actually bend and break.
We spoke about this the other day with the Sidekick when I first got a Sidekick.
Oh, best.
Bro, brand new, awesome. Right? Best. So I remember I was in Staten Island this time. So I get it. I get to my friends. I'm like this. I flip it open. I drop it. Brand new, just got out of store, like maybe 20 minutes before that. Drops. I go pick it up and I kick it. And I kick it directly across the street on the screen. And I pick it up and everything is destroyed. And I went, see what happens when you fucking try to show off? The whole phone was ruined. Went back home. I was like, I don't want this anymore. Return it.
But I think that thing was
20 minutes in.
That was the birth of texting. Like texting skills.
That was like the messenger or something
like
that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You had AIM on it.
Yeah. But think about the step before that, texting was you had the digits on a phone, and then you would have ABC, DEF, EFG.
Yeah. On.
So sending a text message was like the longest and most grueling process that I was just like, you know what? I could just call this person much faster. It'll be like, yo, where are you? Instead of saying, yo, where are you? Would take me about a half hour to type.
We just flipped it,
like the whole game flipped the other way when the Sidekicks came out because I could just text you and not worry about.
I had a regular smaller flip phone, and then when you close it, it flipped the other way, and you were able to.
The chocolate.
Nah, but it was something else. I know which one you're talking about. This was a regular little flip phone.
Yeah, it was a Ryzen phone, right? T-Mobile. Yeah.
Wasn't chocolate, it was something else. And it was a regular flip phone, so it was like a regular old school.
And it opened sideways.
And then you open it sideways. And
I had the same one.
Oh, I do. I do remember what that was.
I forgot
about that. I remember that thing.
It was like a silver, like teal color phone.
Yeah.
I remember that phone. I actually remember that.
I had one where it slid up and slid sideways, right?
I had that one too.
It was like, at that time, it was a couple $100s, and I remember fighting with my ex. And I knew what I was about to do, and I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway, and I broke it into a million pieces.
You know how many Nextels I snapped because of ex-girlfriends right over the window?
You know how many phones I broke because of ex-boyfriends?
Ex-boyfriends,
Ex-girlfriends, bro? Forget it. I lost so much money.
All the answers are right there.
Red flags, man. Like I said, red flags.
And the minute you did it, you regretted it.
I ain't breaking no phone now because of my wife, I tell you that much.
No.
I might break her phone. It can be mine.
Well, they forced me into, when I got this phone, into, I didn't know, I like leased it now, so it goes back.
It's not mine. It's a fucking car, bro.
You don't lease it for three years and give it back.
That's exactly what this is.
You don't have a contract, though.
It's technically, they said, what you're doing is leasing this phone. When the contract is up, you bring it back, and we give you the newest phone out on the market, and you pay the same price that you're paying for this one.
Where'd you get it? Chevy? Where'd you get your phone from, Chevy?
T-Mobile, bro. That's what they do now. No, this is like a $1,200 phone. No,
let me explain what you do. It's a lease. It is a lease because you pay monthly payments for the phone until the phone's paid off, and then it's yours.
Well, you're right. It's either your choice.
So it's like a finance, bro. It's not a lease.
No,
it's a finance.
No, but it's not because you can finance it and you keep it no matter what.
Still keep it.
No, I don't keep this, bro. It goes back.
Well, you found someone. You got scammed.
I'm telling you, this is what they do now. It's a
you
fucking
got scammed.
Lease.
Bro, I got a lease too. I pay $20 a month.
I give it back.
That's what they call a scamboni. That's what that is. You got scambonied.
I guess, but
paying someone else's phone bill. The guy's pay $20 a month.
I pay for the newest phone on the market each time a new phone comes out. So every year when the lease is up, you go here. I'm done with this phone. Give me the newest phone out. And they just give.
Yes, they tell you that, but it's realistic.
So the way I have mine is once my phone's halfway paid off, I could bring it back and say I want something new.
No, same thing with me.
Deducted switching. I've switched phones so many times already. It's disgusting.
So, like,
I think we've reached like the apex, though. Like, phones are not. There's no more advancements like that are gonna be like epic anymore. Like, this is it.
The only thing that changes.
This is gonna make them a little bit faster, I guess, as the years go on.
The only thing that changes is
the capabilities. Yeah, right. Like,
and the camera changes a little. The camera changes a little.
I don't even have the new one. The 11, the 3. What do I need 3 cameras for?
I don't need that. I have the 11.
You see this one camera?
I have two. They came with two, and I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with two?
This one camera takes as many pictures as those two cameras. It's literally the same fucking thing.
I mean, I was never the type that, like, had to take pictures like that anyway. I usually just have somebody else take a picture, and I'm like, yo, send it to me. Thanks.
Send it to me.
Yeah, send me the picture.
Honestly, the best thing the iPhone came out with was AirDrop. Best thing ever.
AirDrop
was cool. From day one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I don't think everybody knew how to use it. Yeah, right.
So it's like AirDrop goes right into my pictures. I don't have to deal with it. But some people get crazy with that shit. Like you're sitting on a train and someone will fucking AirDrop dick pics to everyone on the train. How's your dick?
See, I got to shut mine off because I'm getting all this stupid like games my kids put on their iPads. It's on my account. So now I have it on my phone. If I did do it off my phone, it gets deleted off the iPad.
Yeah,
and I gotta keep all this crap on my phone so they can play their games.
I'll tell you a funny story.
You gotta be careful that they don't like those games that you could pay for add-ons or
no, they don't know the password. They can't. It's got to be facial recognition.
I worked with a guy that is he had like a little baby sister that used to use his tablet to play shit like that, and I guess a couple of years back they didn't have that. Well, you could just do that, and she bought some, and then he had like this idea and he was like, yo, I play the same game. I'm just going to keep buying shit and call them and say, listen, my baby sister, whatever. So that wasn't me. I didn't make those are phantom purchases. I didn't mean to buy it. And they fucking refunded him a whole shitload of money that he actually spent.
I know.
So he
played
these games for free. I was like, you are the king of scheming, bro. That's crazy.
I know a girl whose son spent like $5,000 on games, and it wasn't going through until one purchase of everything went through, and then she got the bill, and it was like $5,000 on a credit card. And you know what they said? They said, "I'm sorry, this was months ago. We can't do anything about it. $5,000 on a credit card. It was just game. I was like, you know, I already took the tablet. I just threw it fucking across the street. What's another couple hundred dollars on top of the $5,000?
I'd kill my kid. Say I'd kill my kid.
Yo, have you thought about any of that shit yet? Like when
Your kid?
No, I'm saying like when, like the stresses that go with like when your kid starts getting a little bit older and you got to talk to them about certain shit.
It's
when they start hitting their teens and stuff.
Certain thing. The teens is gonna be interesting. Like my daughter. Yeah. With the attitude that she has now, I can only imagine what it's going to be like when she's like 16.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like my kids were like babies and they would say something funny. We think it'd be like hilarious. Now they say something funny. It's actually really funny, but it's funny to the point where you shouldn't laugh because you're their parent, but sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah.
Have you gotten like weird questions yet or like?
Not really. Like the whole Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus thing still in full effect.
Yeah.
Really. But I haven't gotten any like weird about, you know, I get some stupid questions like, "Why is the sky blue?" type of questions. What do I say? I don't know. I don't know.
Speaking of like the Santa Claus and Easter Bunny thing, like, are you gonna tell them, or will you let them find out on their own?
No, I'm not telling them. My if it was up to my wife, she would kibosh that shit from the beginning.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Especially like Santa, because she never really believed in Santa as a kid.
I can't even tell.
But when you get to a certain age, you kind of, you know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I had like my dreams dashed in school where somebody talked about that shit.
That's the way it's going to happen.
Well, like they caught their parents fucking eating the cookies or some shit. And I was like, no way. And I was like, what? I wonder if my dad be eating that shit. And then you ask your parents and then they look at each other with a weird look.
Like I got asked, I think my son asked me, how does Santa, oh, my daughter might have been, how does Santa get to all these houses, blah, 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 you know, in my mind. That's exactly what I said.
Because you know what it is, especially as a guy, like you start to think like, all right, he's fat as fuck. He ain't coming down my chimney. And another thing, we live in Brooklyn. We don't have chimneys here.
I got a chimney, man. I got a fireplace.
You do the whole footprints on the floor.
Nah, I don't get that crazy. We leave the cookies and the milk out, stuff like that. Well, yeah. Not really, because we don't do Christmas yet. We're in Brooklyn for Christmas. I don't know about this year, but
yeah, right.
Like this past Easter was supposed to be one of the first holidays we really supposed to host, and that got crushed.
You get locked out then.
I was looking forward to it. Everybody coming up here, but I think the next one we're gonna try, which is probably not gonna happen either, is Memorial Day. That's gonna be kiboshed.
Yeah, probably not.
So we usually have the Fourth of July. We usually go to Brooklyn.
Yeah,
that's probably gonna be kiboshed too.
Our friend was supposed to have him too, with the fucking, they were having a joint bachelor party. We were supposed to go to Arizona. When was that?
It's in August. It still might happen, but
I don't know.
When in August?
Right before Bateria, right after Bateria.
That's when we're supposed to go to Vegas.
I know.
Vegas is booked for like the 21st,
and we're going to 27th. So I was going to do Vegas, stay the extra day. They're going into Vegas and then going into Arizona. So I might just do one whole big bash, you know?
Is this for who, you?
No, it's not for me anymore.
Well, it's supposed to be for you, no?
It was supposed to be a joint one.
You and who?
And Dom. You know Dom?
Fat Dom?
Dom.
I don't know if you remember Fat Dom. He used to hang out with the shows and everybody.
Oh, yeah. He rides dirt bikes constantly.
So we were supposed to do a joint one, and then we booked it. I booked it with the Rona deal. Everything was cheap. And so then Bateria was like, why don't you come to Vegas too? And we're supposed to fly into Vegas. So I was literally just going to go with you guys, stay an extra day, and then just meet them in Vegas and then go to Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that, because the flight hotels are paid for. I booked everything. Of course, I fucking got stuck doing it. I booked everything through Expedia. Hotel, flight, the whole nine.
Did you get the insurance?
Of course.
Smart move. I did too.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah, you have to, bro.
There's no issue, and they send me a check. You know, but
you know,
telling
me
not to cancel, and I'm left until we're like a week.
So they're telling
Vegas is open. We're going. Bottom line.
So. They're saying not to cancel because they're saying let them cancel it. That's why they're telling you not to cancel, because then they'll give you the refund.
They have to.
Because someone's going to be like, oh, I'm canceling, I need my money back. They don't know. You know, you could be lying.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
saying. So let them fucking cancel
the second it. The second everything started closing, Expedia sent me an email saying, don't call us unless your trip is in within 7 days. Don't call us unless it's within 7 days of your trip.
Well, I'm sure they got flooded with fucking phone calls.
How many of you are going?
Nine of us, I think.
There's 10 now.
Well, no, I mean, not less. Maybe seven or eight.
There's eight now.
We're counting this faggot.
Come on, with it, man.
Might as well. I'll take my 2 week vacation all at once.
The room will cost you about 500. Talk to me. And then, listen, don't know. Hopefully we can make it.
I don't know how it's going to go, bro. I mean, I'm thinking about it in this way.
Never went. They never been. Anthony never been to Vegas.
Ever in his life?
Anthony never went to Vegas?
Never went to Vegas.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm pretty sure I asked him to come for my 25th birthday. He told me no.
And he's the kid that, like, loves going out and doing stuff. And he never went to Vegas? I don't understand.
Because he had bullshit job. He never had money.
Yeah, I guess.
Smart with his money lately.
Yeah.
Smart. He's smartened up.
Yeah.
I mean, finally.
It's a bad time.
Seriously.
I literally spent, like, my entire bank account the first time.
I hope he listens to this. I want to know how I got stuck with him for a few years when everyone started separating. I got stuck with him for a few years.
Everybody had their own shit going on. I remember when he was around hanging out a lot with us.
Well, listen, when I was still living in Brooklyn, if I had a chance to go out, I would. You knew that.
No, I know. I love
it. And he used to make fun of, like, my other friends, like my friend John and all them, because he's like, these kids ain't married anymore and they have girlfriends and stuff, but they don't come out. So he's like, how come I go out with the only person who's married with kids? It comes out more than anybody else. And it's so much truth.
He used to tell me the same thing. He used to be like, yo, Mo wants to go out. No one else who's single wants to go out besides Mo.
Listen, I told you, when I'm out and I can go out, I'm going to go out.
Well, there's a lot of people in relationships where they go, honey, I want to go out. And the girl gives them a look. And then they go, nah, you know what? Nah, I don't want to go out. Forget it, I'll stay.
Yeah, but I'm not going to drop that bomb on my wife like I'm going out tonight. I'm going to make a plan and say, yo, I'm thinking about coming to Brooklyn in 2 weeks. Let's do something. And then say, listen, I'm going to Brooklyn in 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to be home that weekend.
Tomorrow. Figure it out. Because
I'll tell you a funny story where I dropped a bomb. I was with this girl and I was telling her, I was like, yo, listen, I'm thinking about going to Vegas. She gave me this shit. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go. She's like, all right. 3 days before Vegas, I was like, listen, I'm going to Vegas. She was like, we're done. I was like, okay, bye. That was the end of my relationship. Went to Vegas. I blamed it on my boy Sal that he bought it for my birthday. Dropped the bomb. Broke up with her.
Why my wife is my wife? The only reason. A reason. We were dating. I think we were dating. And my friend Anthony was getting married. And we were going to Miami for his bachelor party. For like the weekend, whatever it was. Or they might have went long. I only went for the weekend. And I didn't have any money. I don't even know if I was even... Yeah, I wasn't making like the kind of money I'm making now. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't think I have the money. She was working, obviously. She gave me $900. She said, go because you need the vacation. We were barely dating.
That's fucking awesome.
It's $900 or $800, whatever it was. Go. Put them
at me. But that's like that's the fucking strength of the friendship you had before that. You know?
Probably.
Did you like, pay her back?
I'm not gonna pay it back.
It's like I'm gonna give Mike some money because you know I know.
Straight up, just like that. She's like, you need to go on vacation. That's awesome. You need to go on vacation. His 800 or 9 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And go to Miami.
Yeah, she got a sister or
older sister's married. Sorry. Our daughters are. She has two daughters, and our first my daughter and her first daughter are 2 days apart. They're pregnant at the same time.
Nice.
Planned, unplanned.
No, it's not like I felt like we called and said, okay, I'm gonna do it right now.
Yo, no. Fuck tonight. Do it right now.
Yeah, no.
What about you? You done?
Yeah, I already got fixed, guy. No more. No more kids over here.
No way.
Oh yeah. Shop's closed, my man.
He's got no more room. He's got no more hands to put the tattoos on. So, right,
so what the fuck? Like, done. Yo, what the fuck is that shit like when you're getting your shit?
I was supposed to go. I planned on going. Like right after my daughter was born, saying I have a son, I have a daughter, I'm done. And I kept procrastinating. Yeah, 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 I'll do it. Five years go by. And I just had went November 1st, I did it.
I remember you telling me in Kettle.
I was awake. You know, I was awake for that. Give me a local. I'm going to give you a shot right in the sack, numb everything, make the little incision. The incision's like a half an inch thick. You don't even, you know, you feel a little tug. You don't really feel anything.
Oh shit! So what the fuck is that?
Your shit.
Yeah.
Other than that, whatever.
What is it like to have sex now? Then.
It's great. It's everything that happened prior still happens. Just no, I guess what is it? No semen. Nothing that swims.
So like nothing comes out. Or
of course, everything still comes out. It's just not. You can't. Yeah, I can't get my wife pregnant.
It's just not fertile. It's not fertile stuff. It's just
I thought nothing came out.
Right. That's what I thought. Like, I never really hung out with anybody that actually had it done before. That's pretty sick.
I thought it was a blank. Like nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I feel like an idiot when the doctor was like, "What do you mean? Everything still comes out." And I was like, "How?
Shit. That's pretty wild. Well, at least it doesn't take away from the experience. Fuck it.
Oh, definitely not.
No. Oh, it's good then.
It's got to be good, though. You're just shooting everywhere now. Ah!
Not everywhere.
And, like, worst case...
I mean...
One place.
Worst case scenario, you could always untie yourself if you wanted to, right?
Yeah. Well, so I made the joke.
Funny story.
I made the joke to my wife all the time because she had 2 C-sections for my kids.
Oh, shit.
So, I said, listen, especially when she was having on the table for my daughter, and I was like, why don't you just tell the doctor, just make a quick knot and in your tubes, and we're good. And she like dead looked at me dead serious. She's like, I go through enough, you do it. So I was like, all right, I can't argue that. You had both like major surgery twice.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So
I'll do it. Yeah. Fuck it.
Can't argue that. Like I said, it was uncomfortable for like a day or two, ice pack on your balls, and I was like,
yeah.
Wasn't bad.
Sick.
That's it. I'm done.
Who knew? We got our first tied up guy, bro.
Straight shooter now. That's it.
Literally, physically. Holy shit.
I don't need any. I didn't plan on my daughter as soon as we have her, so I don't need any more surprises.
No, but it's good to have him that close.
Well, we didn't plan on having them, but they're only 18 months apart, my kids.
That's good, though. You don't want the gap to be too big with them.
Well, we were going to wait till my son was at least 2, maybe 3 before trying for another one. So maybe they'd be 3 years apart. And I tell you right now, like, especially when we were trying to have my son, we were trying. Nothing would happen because we were, like, so fixed on it. Mm. Once we stopped caring, we got pregnant. And then one random night of not thinking, yeah, it won't happen, and it happened.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So and then, surprise, happy Father's Day. You're going to be a father again. Yeah, it's pretty much how it happened, literally. How it happened. She threw me a pregnancy test. She said, yeah, happy Father's Day. I was like,
Oh shit.
What was I doing? I was playing Candy Crush, and I just kept continuing to play Candy Crush. And it didn't catch up to my brain yet.
Threw it over the shoulder, and I was like,
what the hell? That's great.
The guy went from fucking one of the funniest bachelors in Brooklyn to fucking tied down 2 kids later.
Daddy of the year.
Dad of the year.
I'm good. Trust me. Yeah. No regret at all.
No.
That's another thing. I didn't want to be like an older father. When I'm 55, hopefully ready to retire, my kids would be 24, 26. See you later. I'll have my life back.
I'm 40s, man. Still young enough.
When my kids are teenagers and they can stay home, me and your mother going out. See you tomorrow. Whatever. Stuff like that.
I thought about that kind of shit.
But that's what.
That is good. That is good.
I think about it all the time. I don't want to be an old ass father.
No. But at the same time, I also don't want to fucking settle into a relationship that I know 100%. is like
no,
not
way.
The thing, you know?
No. Or just have a random ass baby just to have one.
I think I see that shit too often of some people getting into a relationship that is for the sake of saying, oh, I'm getting too old for this shit. And they marry, like, the next person that they're dating.
Bro, but that's the fucking stupidest reason to get married.
They're in their, like, early 30s, and they're like, oh, my clock's ticking. Come on.
Well, right. Like, it ain't ticking, bro.
Like, I get it. A woman, you want to have a kid and all that, but that doesn't mean just have a kid.
But, like, Mike, this is one of the first conversations we ever had on our podcast. Like, everyone puts a time limit on everything. It's like, just fucking live your life. And when it happens, it's going to happen. Everyone, I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too – it's so fucking annoying. But that's
I'm tired now and having to run around my kids now. You think I'd be able to have young kids when I was like 45?
Right.
I'm exhausted now. Like, power to the people that could have kids older. I didn't want to do it. And my wife was on the fence about even having kids at all.
Really?
Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, she wasn't sure if she wanted to have kids. And I said, well, we ain't getting married unless we have a kid. I told her straight up like that. So, and then she, you know, we talked about getting married, and she's like, no, I want to have a kid. So
nice. And worked out pretty well.
She likes to break my balls sometimes. She's like, I want a third kid. I was like, better go get another husband. Now, this is before getting fixed. She's like, I was like, I don't have any more kids. You could go get a boyfriend, go have another kid. It ain't going to be for me. To make that joke with her.
That's pretty cool.
I'll go find some young thing. Good. Go find some young thing. That's not the thing she does. Every time I'm working late, that the first thing she tells me is, what's her name? Thinks like I'm cheating. So I tell her some like outrageous name, like Svetlana or something like that.
See, he's got the fucking relationship goals that we all need to have.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said before, goals. Where you could just bust each other's balls and then...
We definitely break each other's balls.
Go to bed.
It's to the point where I'm surprised we're not doing pranks on each other.
I'm sure...
I would, but I don't want to destroy my house. That's the only reason I don't do it.
I'm pretty sure that when your kids get a little bit older and can grasp shit like that, they'll join in and help the both of you fuck with the other one.
Well, like I said, I don't want to do it because I'll get stupid where there'd be like honey or chocolate syrup all over my house, like in the walls. I'm like, then I got to clean anything.
Or they put like the fucking saran wrap through the hole and you can't fucking see it.
I follow a lot of stupid couples like that on Instagram.
But me too, me too.
Wild things to me.
Yo, some of them are really fucked up to each other.
Yo, like the sun packs on the toilet seat.
Bro,
yeah, that's fucked up.
That's not even a prank. That's just brutal. That's brutal.
Great. No, but like somehow he'll get X-laxed. Like in his coffee or in his something, and he'll rush to the bathroom, and there'll be thumbtacks on the seat, and he'll sit right down, and she starts, and the video camera's screaming.
Like, well, like when I seen a couple of them like making shit sandwiches, like there's actually shit in things where, and the fucking person's eating it. Like, that's fucking gross.
There's one where he had his friend shave his pubes off and put it, and he packed them into his cigarettes, and he smoked them. He's like, what's that smell? And he was smoking his friend's pubes. Like, nasty shit. I'm telling you, it's on Instagram. I laugh my ass out. I watch these things.
Oh, man, that's fucking funny.
Some of them are bad.
Some of them are good. Like the saran wrap over the toilet, and the girl, you know, she goes to sit, and it just bounces back at you.
There was one where he was playing some online game, Call of Duty or something, and she came in with a bat and beat his PlayStation to pieces in front of him. And he was like, what are you doing? I told you stop playing so much. You're ignoring me. And just beat his PlayStation to pieces right in front of him. It was hysterical.
Oh, man. Sean, you will lose your mind on that.
Yeah, bro, that's like my go-to thing when I'm home now. Although, I can't front, like, I wouldn't know what to say. Like, my ex bought me my Xbox, so if she, like, walked in my house one day and was like, I'm taking this, I'd be like, fair enough, I guess. You bought it.
Nah, that's a cool thing. Like, my son's getting into, like, we play, like, Mario Kart and stuff like that on PlayStation or on the Wii, and he's pretty fun. You know those Temple Run games? Like, you get
them. Yeah.
They have, like, Sonic, and they have Life of Ryan or some shit like that. I'm terrible. This kid is ridiculous at these games, like to move left and right and slide them and down. I'm like, I don't understand.
Isn't it crazy when you like take a step back for a second?
It's got like a million, like multiple millions in points. I'm like, I can't even break 10,000.
Like, you look at this kid and you're like, yo, my seed is better than me at so many things already. This is isn't it crazy?
Like, I got better at where I whoop his ass, and I don't play that. I'll let you win thing? No.
See, but that's the thing that you need to be. You need to be the father that's like, you know what? You need to learn what it feels like to lose.
See, this is my son. He's not so bad now, but like when he first started playing basketball, he used to shut down. He didn't do something good. He'd lose. He fucking curled in a ball, cried. He used to drive me crazy. I'm like, I can't. I'm not going to yell at him for it.
Right.
I have to keep. Now he's better at it. He's like, I know that. I have to keep trying. Yes, you have to keep
trying. Right. You have to keep trying.
And I tell him right before the game starts, I was like, you're going to lose. I'm going to beat you. I feel it now. And I tell him that all the time. He's like, you're really good at this game. And I'm like, I am. And like, we'll play Connect Four. And in the beginning, I'm like, when I'm teaching him the game, like, always look at the board before you go. And then now, at this point, it's like, you're going to lose. And I just straight beat you. It's like, you got to learn how to lose, man.
Yeah, right. Because like what we talked about in a lot of fucking other podcasts with you know, everyone gets a participation trophy these days and a generation where everybody wins.
Because then everyone's a winner. And then when you lose, you expect, what is the kid? I lost. What happens
that,
now?
Kids that they throw tantrums because they've never lost before and, like, they don't know how to deal with
it. But when we were kids, you lost. It was all the kids were like, bro, you fucking suck. Yeah. Okay. You went home.
Like, I'm fine with everyone getting a little something. Yeah, you played. Oh, okay, you got a jersey, a jacket, a little medal. But the team who wins needs to have something. Like,
something, something up here that makes
everybody else.
Yeah,
where I come in first place and you come in last place and we got the same size trophy.
Yeah, exactly. They do that here with the participation nonsense, which I'm not happy about. Listen, half the time it's just like my son will get something and it disappears without even him realizing. It's
like, well, what about the nowadays? Like, my nephew was playing. I forgot what sport it was. It was like or nothing counts. There's no points. No one wins. What?
Well, so for my son's first year of baseball, it was T-ball. So this, you know, co-ed, X amount of kids. So it's three innings. Everybody bats before the inning's over. And no one keeps score. I'm like, all right, I get that. Because it's T-ball. No,
but that's T-ball.
Yeah.
Anything older than T-ball, it should be a game.
Yeah, I never played T-ball. I always had coach pitch.
Me too.
Even as a young as
coach pitch, and then right after coach, it was like, that's it. You're playing.
This year he was supposed to play. It was supposed to be either kid pitch or coach pitch. And I'm like, my son ain't gonna play. He ain't gonna do it. He's not gonna be able to hit the ball once. He's gonna lose it and not want to play anymore. So I said, do you want to play? Yes or no? Tell me. No, I don't want to play. Fine, we ain't signing you up. I'm not gonna tell you. You don't want to play. I'm not gonna make you play. He gave up on basketball last year. 2 weeks in, shut it down. You don't want to do it. You're never coming back here again. Said, I want to try basketball again. Did it this year. Still too short to reach the hoop because it's like 7.5 feet. My son has my short gene. It's just unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate.
He's got to inherit something.
That's it. So I said, if you don't try, you don't practice, you're not going to be good. You just didn't practice. I said, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. And they didn't even have like games. It was practice and like clinic. They played a knockout game. And they taught them basics, so I get it. It's, you know, 6 years old. They ain't gonna play.
Yeah,
games.
So,
right.
Like my nephew, he just turned 10. He's really into baseball, which got me happy. And like, but he's like into it. Like he'll be like, hey, let's go outside, have a catch. And so like, teaching them the competitiveness of that, which is good because he hates losing now. Hates it. You know what I mean?
Good.
But when you win, it was just like they got nothing. They won, they got zero. No trophy, no – it was just like my brother's like, I paid all this money and we got nothing in the end.
Yeah, that sucks.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
My brother was so – like my town up here does it different. Like within the parks and rec, they do certain things, so it's kind of like that. But it's more to teach them the game than really how to the competitive side of it. As they get older, when they get into school, then they get the teams where they travel and they play at all the schools and all that kind of stuff.
I played for a softball league in Staten Island, right? And it was called JFK. So now I'm thinking, JFK, named after the president, I fucking join, right? Whole seasons go by, blah, blah, blah. We win the championship. We put in 500. We get 500 back. I said, what the fuck is this? Bro, the league is called JFK, just for kicks. I said, hold on. I played a whole fucking season just for kicks.
Just to get my money back?
Just to get my money back? I wanted to fucking kill the person.
Oh, you just get it back.
I don't know. Well, if you lose, you don't get it. You know what I mean? So you, the league.
Yeah, right. What is the rest of the money?
Usually when you play for a league, you put in a certain amount of money. You get
or a trophy, some jackets, maybe a t-shirt, whatever.
And then you get more money back. So if you put 500, you usually get like 15 or whatever it is. Right. I got the $500 back, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
We used to play Dust Bowl back, and I played like one league, and we won a championship, but I got like some jacket.
Yeah, this is stupid,
and I'm never doing it again. I know a couple of people that played like co-ed in Staten Island, but it was like a beer league. You drank while played.
Yeah, you know,
not on the field, but in the dugout.
I was going to do that one, I just never did.
I did that one.
I played a couple of games filling for those. I just got smacked. It was fun.
Yeah, 2 years ago I played for one of the beers and one of the.
I'd rather bowl. I'd rather go to a bowling alley and bowl and drink beer.
You're a big bowler.
Yeah, I haven't bowled in so long.
We used to go when?
Monday nights. At Maple Lanes.
Mondays.
Monday night.
It was either Monday or Wednesday.
No, it was Mondays because Wednesdays I would bowl at Shell in my league.
Yeah. My boy I work with actually. You probably know him because he's a big bowler too.
Who?
Kid Orlando.
Oh yeah, I know Orlando.
Yeah, I work with him. I work with him. I know him a long time.
We were heavy.
He still bowls heavy, bro. He bowls heavy still.
So does Anthony. A lot of my friends, Jason, all them.
Anthony's a big bowler, too.
Anthony was pretty much the one who taught me how to bowl, more or less. Because I used to bowl no thumb, throw the ball
as fast as I could.
And then he taught me, like, technique. Him, my friend Jay, they all taught me, my kid Steve, they all taught me how to really, like, bowl and how to throw the ball. I was a decent bowler, but I bowled in that Wednesday league with my mom, one of my brothers, and Anthony for, like, 10, almost 15 years.
Oh shit!
And then
I always liked bum. I just couldn't do the league thing.
Nah, I was cool because everybody knew everybody. Everyone would drink.
I was on the bowling team for high school.
I never did it in high school. I wasn't.
I was
226 club in high school. You know the 226 club is when that bell rang at 226. I was gone, and I was working. It's a junior senior year. I worked.
We but We were forced to, because if you were on the baseball team, you had to be on the bowling team. That's because the coach...
Oh, what?
The coach for the baseball team was like, I got put on the bowling. I was in charge of the bowling team. I have no team. You're all fucking playing. So we're like, hey, fuck it. It's the baseball team. So us baseball kids would go play... We would go bowl when these kids were all serious, and we were playing fucking rap music in a bowling alley. And then you got a kid who's bowling and going... And I'm like, the kid was from FDR. I'll never forget. We just abused him. Every time we bowl, go in the gutter or everything, we would shoot him.
Pew pew.
Get so mad. Pew pew.
That's pretty funny. Yeah,
man, I mean, that's good for your coach. At least
freshman year of high school, real quick, I was like, yeah, no, this is stupid. And then I never played. I sat on the bench. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
after that, I was like, nah, I'd rather like go to work and make money after school.
Yeah, that's what I did. We all worked in fucking Gargiulo's catering hall, like our junior and senior high school.
All of you did that.
We all did that.
No, I used to work in the pharmacy on 86th Street, making deliveries and stocking shelves.
Sick.
And when my brother worked in. So I used to go there with my bike after school, make deliveries, stock shelves. I made like $7 an hour back in 2000, 2001.
My first job was the pet store on Kings Highway, right next door from Pisa.
Oh, God. It's not there no more, right? They closed, right?
I used to go in there, put my skates on, right? Throw in my book bag. The lady Sue. Remember Sue? She's like, all right, mop the floor. No, sweep the floor, clean the fish tanks. And I said, all right, okay. And then I used to get paid at the end of the week. I used to carry the cat food for the old ladies. And then I used to skate back home.
I remember that guy. That guy, what was that guy?
I forgot his name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I think his name was Jeff. He used to yell at me when I was a kid. So he's going in like,
Jeff, Sue's
touch the fucking goldfish tanks, and they'd be like, hey, Dick, stop doing that.
God, I hated that smell in that place.
So, Mike, everyone who came on here, we asked just to switch up a little. What's one thing you miss doing? I mean, during quarantine, what's the first thing?
Honestly, nothing, man. I feel more bad than my kids.
We'll play it in a scenario for the kids. Like, what do you think is the first thing your kids are going to be like, Daddy, can we go to so-and-so now that we...
Can we go to Nunda's house? Can we go to Brooklyn and go swim at Nunda's pool? Oh, I forget. It's every day. And that's all they tell me. Daddy, once this virus is over, we're going to go stay at Nunda's. And then joking, me and my wife say, yeah, you are for like 6 months. For like 6 months.
See you later. Okay.
So I'll give you another question that we asked everyone. After the quarantine's over, first meal you're going to get? What, your family by yourself or whoever?
I swear to God, we were talking about this the other day. I said I was ready to drive the rolling roast in 2 hours to drive the rolling roast.
You know what? My brother just texted me. He just texted me. He said, "You want rolling roaster?" And I said, "No."
I haven't had it in a while.
I'm putting on some LBs at home.
Yeah,
I ain't doing anything. Like I wasn't doing anything before the quarantine.
I'm actually losing some.
I'm like
just losing it to a different part of the body. That's all.
I'm trying to maintain and stay steady, but like some of the shit that I'm stocking in my fridge is just like because there's nothing else to buy. I'm eating like shit.
That's the one thing that I don't miss is going freaking food shopping once a week, arguing with some woman over the last fucking stack of ribs or something.
How is it out there shopping? Yeah.
It's actually not that bad. The only line I've waited in was to get into Home Depot today.
Oh shit!
And I waited 5 minutes. Outside, walked right in, got what I needed, and left. But Stop and Shop by me, there's a free for all. They have the taped arrows, so you can only go down certain ways.
Right.
Listens to. No one follows that. They just go.
Well, I mean, I give them E for effort for even doing that.
Yeah, it's like a hit or miss with like toilet paper and stuff, but everything else is pretty much stocked.
Over here is mayhem. There's lines around the block.
I can imagine. I know in the Bronx when I'm at work, you see like 60, 70 people waiting in line just to go to the bank.
Yeah, bro. We went to Costco last week. The whole meat section was gone.
Yo, how about this?
And it was like super early in the morning. I'm like, who the fuck bought all the food already?
There's a deli by where I work, right? It doesn't open until 8 o'clock. We were eating breakfast at 6:30, and there was 40 people waiting out the door. You seen inside. There was people with the gate closed. And there were people setting up, and there were people lining up at 6:30, and a place opened.
I had to go deposit a check for my wife into our account, and it was, I guess, it was enough where I couldn't do it on my phone. Mm-hmm. I actually had to go to the bank. And this bank opened at like 9. And I was driving by. Like you said, like 7 o'clock. There were 6-7 cars waiting.
Bro, it's insane.
It's crazy.
Because
just to use the bank.
Someone told me, listen to this. Someone told me that they were waiting online for Starbucks for an hour and a half.
Bro, yeah, the one over here by us, like on the border of like Coney Island, the one that has like the only drive through in fucking Brooklyn.
Yeah, the one by over there. Yeah, but the one by the diner.
Yeah.
No,
I see certain people that I know that like religiously go to that one, and they post on like Instagram or whatever. The fucking line wraps out of the whole lot, like 40 cars deep. I'm like, yo, it's coffee, man.
You know that
you could buy like Starbucks coffee for your house and just.
Or how about this? Regular coffee still does the trick.
It does. It really does.
Pot, boom, done. You couldn't pay me enough.
Some of that shit is mind-boggling, man.
I'll give you free coffee, wait online, I wouldn't even do it.
Like even during something like this, that some people just can't adjust to the point where like you can make your own coffee. Just fucking do that.
It's insane.
Yeah. Now the weekends, meanwhile, we have the Nespresso pots and make our own.
Yeah.
We just ordered more actually today. But normally, if I go to work, I'll get coffee.
Mike,
one by me is not even open. I have to go to Dunkin' Donuts in the Bronx.
The good Nespresso pods.
Yeah, he gets that real Italian shit.
Yeah, real zipperoni.
Zipperonis.
I get 100 pods, plus sugar and stirrers and plastic cups for $45.
How so cheap?
Because when you know a guy that knows a guy who gets it from probably Zipland and
they pay double that for 100 pods off the Nespresso website.
Yeah. So, but and it's coffee from Italy. It's Barbone. I don't know if you heard of it.
I heard of it. That's
what I get: 100 pods plus cups, sugar, and stirrers.
Yeah. Now we get flavored stuff too. We get the espresso cups, so it pumps out a thing of espresso. Then we get the double espresso ones.
Oh,
so we get a variety of different stuff for like I think it was like $80. We got like 100 something pods.
I made that mistake with my ex a bunch of times. We used to go to Starbucks and I would get shit with an extra shot. You really don't need an extra shot.
No, you don't.
Fucking Starbucks,
I used to do it.
I was fucking zinging all day long with that.
I don't even put milk or sugar in my coffee now.
Me neither.
If I'm home, I'll put sugar in it, but no milk. And when I'm at work, I get flavored coffee, so I just flavored coffee black.
Me too. I do the hazelnut.
That's what I'm saying. Hazelnut.
I'm like, yo, no sugar, no milk. They're like, what? I'm like, really not that hard. Hazelnut coffee, no sugar, no milk.
And in the summertime, I get like a caramel coffee, like iced coffee, nothing in it.
Nothing in
it. The guy's like, you know, it's really sweet. I'm like, that's why I said no sugar.
Exactly. Right.
It's like, it's really not that hard. Just make the fucking coffee and give it to me.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Or you order a coffee, it's like no sugar, and you see the lady going, I hope that's not mine.
Listen, at this point, if you're going to mess it up, I'm not waiting. Just give me the fucking coffee. I'll drink it. I'll figure it out.
Lately, I've just been making it right on my Keurig, and I make an espresso to go, and then I'll make a coffee to go, and then I'll just take the shot of espresso, and then as I'm walking the four blocks, I have the coffee in my hand.
I have a drive. I usually wait. I've been doing like isogenics for breakfast, so I'll make like a shake. And I'll drink that on my way to work at 4:30 in the morning, 4:45 in the morning. I'm up early.
So to get to, the voting on, can we vote on anything on this one? I don't know if we can.
No, I was just saying big ups to Mike for showing up.
Yeah, Mike, thank you.
I told you guys from the beginning. When you told me about the first podcast, I said, yo, when's the special guest starting? When's all
you know what? Honestly, starting doing the video thing, it's so much easier to get guests.
Yeah.
You know, to come on.
It's almost like a gift and a curse that this shit happened.
Yeah, because
it forced our hand to do video one, and then two was like, all right, so let's just start bringing people in because our other third person was like, I don't kind of want to be on camera yet. He wants to like take some time off or whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll fill the void with guests and video. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone and make that transition. And it's easy. You know,
listen, I told you from the beginning before this, I'd have been a guest without video.
Yeah, I know.
I always said to myself, I would love to do a podcast. I was like, but who am I going to do? I'm going to do it by myself. That's just stupid.
Well, one man show.
But anyway, it all worked out.
I need to bounce ideas off people.
So,
that's my whole situation. That like, you know, even with you, there was very minimal like topics that I wanted to run through first, and then we would just go with it.
And then it's
just an easier dynamic when you're a naturally talkative person that could get into some shit.
No, I'm gonna sit here in the camera and just fucking say nothing. That's the purpose.
Well, I mean, there are some people that reach out to us that want to come on, and I'm like, you really don't have anything to input. So
yeah, I don't even answer them. At this point, I don't even answer them.
This was definitely good, Mike.
Thanks for the invite.
We appreciate, and listen, anytime you want to come on, here.
We're trying to branch out at first. And
we're
going to bring in a bunch of different people. But after a while, we're going to start bringing a bunch of people back. So you're definitely on the list.
Let me know when.
Anytime you want,
Mike. Give me the heads up.
Absolutely. And
maybe next time you can bring your wife with you. So we get the
ball. If she feels she's camera ready, that's fine with me. You know? That ain't up to me. That's up to her. I'm all for it. I'll bring the kids on too if they feel like saying something. That's up to them. Also.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, you tell me when. You let me know what time. When.
Definitely. We'll be in touch, bro.
And after this quarantine, we'll all get together.
Yeah, without a doubt, bro.
And if it's not now. It'll be in Vegas once they open.
Listen, Vegas is open. I don't care if New York's closed. If Vegas is open, we're going. We already discussed it with the rest of the guys. We were supposed to be going.
Yeah, I actually spoke to Dom today. I said, if it's open, I'm going. Everything's booked already. Might as well. I'll lay in the lake by myself.
I'll ask at a pool party if I have to. I don't care.
I'll lay in the lake by myself, just on the floaty. What the fuck am I going to do?
Oh, God. The thought of being in Vegas, man. Oh, my stomach hurts.
Yeah, right? Oof. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully for the best.
We'll see.
But, we'll close out soon. I'll edit this shit. We'll have it posted up for everybody's viewing pleasure very soon.
And we'll tag you and then, you know, just repost it for us and then we'll take it from there.
That's it.
And anytime we, you know, we need your input on something.
Anytime you need that guidance. That's all.
Yeah. All right, so guys, here's another episode in the books. I want to thank Mike for showing up today.
Yeah, thanks. Moski!
So I'm going to sleep. Some of us got to go work tomorrow.
Later.
Yep. Later.
Later.